Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Endless Babble Z, episode 311. I'm Ticketmaster, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
Oh, sure, the Power Ranger.
I'm a Power Ranger?
You could be. I don't know your life, man. I don't know your life.
So yeah, we got some Witchman playing, some Black Hole. I mean, wait.
No, a Black Hole discussion? Oh, no. This is getting too deep.
Or gaming blind spots.
Physics, and, guys. Physics
or game release blind spots. And the news, or what we could salvage from what we had before.
It's fine. I have the news.
Nothing can possibly go wrong.
Alright, so I haven't played any of that game that starts with a D, so
Destiny?
I don't need to talk about it.
The Division?
The Division?
Talking about Destiny RPG, you had to say it.
I thought you raided. Didn't you raid? Did you raid?
No, I didn't. I was binge watching Jessica Jones.
So. You finished?
You saw it?
I didn't finish it. I got to like episode 7 or 8.
Disappoint. So.
Over halfway through, finishing the rest out of the podcast. It's fine.
I got all excited, and then he was like, "LOL, just kidding, guys. I lied. This is our lives, guys."
I didn't say I finished. I just said I binge watched.
This is our lives. Just like
So yeah, but I did finish a game, so score another one for Tekken. Oh yeah, and that game is Far Cry Primal.
Yeah.
And it is. I gotta say, I think it has GTA 5 syndrome of all the best things from the previous Far Cries, and it makes it the best Far Cry of all time so far. Because of, I mean, I haven't played the future one, Blood Dragon, but whatever. So, I mean, that one aside, you know, all the other ones I've played, besides the first one, which I haven't played too, but whatever, no big deal. I haven't played the first one or Blood Dragon, but it's grown on me. I'm a fan of the series and franchise, and I gotta say, this one's pretty good. Because usually it's just, like, dropping you into some place as some foreigner, and you, like, there's some word I can't think of, phrase, blah, blah, blah.
Words.
You just go through, kill people with guns, shoot them in the face or not, whatever.
Oh,
do what you do, how you do it.
I don't know
how
to do
it. You just go about your way shooting people and killing stuff. And then they did the whole Assassin's Creed Watchtower in 2 and 3, where it's like, let's add these thingies that you can, well, I guess more so in 3 than 2, where it's like, you know, you get this thingy and it's like, now you can see what else is in the map in this area, blah, blah, blah. And this one was cool because even though it did that, it was like, Your map is like locked, essentially, like the fog of war. You can't see beyond what you've explored, and even when you get the bonfires, is what they are in this one. You don't get a complete view of the map. You just have a view of like the surrounding objectives and areas, but it's still like blacked out pretty good. So it's like for the first long while in the game, you just are exploring, and you're like, I don't know what's around the next corner, and it's just so good. And, man, this game is so good. Like, everything is done so good. Like, the skill trees are good. The, like, progression of the weapons and your armor. Because I got the other thingy that let me be in the north where it's cold. And it like, basically...
A burka?
No.
Oh.
your warm weather clothes that you're wearing... that you've made from not killing animals, but like the materials that you gather from crafting to like make it. So you start off, and if you don't have it, you can survive for 5 minutes. And then like the level one is like, okay, well you can survive for 5 or 10 minutes. And then after you get it to level two, it's like, okay, well you can survive in this weather without any worry about the coldness. So that was cool the way they did that. Cause I had to hunt down some badgers, I think. I think it was badger skin that I had to get. It was badger or elk or something, whatever. And then looking at the map, I'm like, okay, where are these thingies spawn? Let me hunt them down. And yeah, it was like, it's just great. It's just like, well done. It just does all that stuff that, you know, those open world games do. Like, it started with Red Dead, but like this one's just taking it like to a whole nother level. It's just like gotten so much better, where it's like, you look in your menu and you're looking at your crafting stuff, and it's like, okay, well I need this many thingies. Cause there's also, you know, you can, like you'll see things of wood and like stone, and if you go up and you hold down square, you get like little things to that you get for more crafting. So it's like all the materials you can gather from everything in the environment. So you can just go off and scavenge. And so what I would do is I just like at first I started just playing it normally, but then I was like, I'm just going to explore. Like, I went all the way south as I could. And, like, as I was doing that, I was just, like, scavenging, and I got some, like, stones and some sticks and some, like, rare stones, and then there's some animals that, like, are not at all the spots, and it's like, oh, let me just hunt them. But then you, like, see there's other predators in the environment as you're playing, and it's like they are, like, yeah, like, the whole time the environment is, like, alive. It's really cool. Like, I would think, to me, in that sense, it felt like this is the most, like living, breathing world, like, open world style I feel like I've been in, because it's just, it's always reacting to you, or just, like, it's never not, like, dynamic or just dead. It's just, stuff is always happening. Like, there's always animal sounds, day-night cycle's always going on, so it's like, there's always, you know, oh man, I gotta get my flaming club out and so I can see, because if it's not out, I can't see, and I hear all these sounds, and it's like, ugh. So, and then having your animal pet, that's a whole thing of just, like, man, that was awesome, just... Because, like, depending on the animal that you tame, like, they have different attributes. So there's, like, some that are good at stealth, so they can be sneaky and, like, attack other humans for you and, like, not get you spotted when you're trying to, like, be all stealthy. And then there's, like, certain, like, super tanky ones, like the bear, like, where, like, if you send your bear into battle, like, while you're with them, they just become the tank, and, like, all the enemies are focused on them. So you can just, like, sneak around and, like, flank and, like, take dudes out. It's so good. And then, like, the story... The story is, like, good. It's for a Far Cry game, it's, like, the best one. So it's, like, whatever. Because it's not the stupid, oh, I'm just in this place and there's some bad person and I'm going to take him out, blah, blah, blah. It's, like, you got some tribal action going on of, like, we're the Winja, we're here doing our thing, and in Oros, the mystical land of the mystical Great Valley land of Oros. And then you got the Udum meat-eater evil people, and then, like, the weird Tikri. Was it Tikri? Tikri Azizel, something weird, whatever. I can't remember what they call it. The blue people. And then, you know, they're all fiery, so they use fire and stuff, so they burn you. And yeah, it was a nice adventure getting to those leaders, taking them out, and some sweet cutscenes, and some sweet spiritual awakenings, and it was a fun time. It was a fun ride. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I would highly recommend this game if you're a fan of Far Cry or open world games in general, because there's a lot to do. I even, like, finished all the missions, and there's, like, one I haven't done. I was like, how come I finish this mission? So, and then, like, yeah, that's the other thing. It's, like, when you're going out in the land, and, like, you see other Winja, so, like, you can walk up to them and, like, hold square or whatever, and they'll give you, like, a side mission. So I guess what happened was I had a bunch of side missions I haven't done, but, like, once you do them at your main village, you can go back and do side missions, and then whatever, but that's, like, a whole quest line that I haven't even done yet, but... We'll see if there's any sweet reward. There probably isn't. And then there's, like, an after credits sequence that happens of, like, oh, is there going to be a sequel? So, or, like, it's kind of annoying because it's, like, super ambiguous of, like, wait, is that the sequel bait? Or is that, like, a sequel hook? Or is that just, yeah, you're just playing with me. That's not cool. Ubisoft, that's not cool because I really like that game. So now I'm all, like, I really want another one. It's like, if there's not another one, I'm like, well, what the hell was the flipping after credits sequence for? Thanks a lot for nothing. It built me up for nothing.
They just wanted to test your hype meter, I guess.
But, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed this game, and, yeah, I have nothing good to say, or nothing but good to say about it, because from the beginning to the end, it was a fun ride, and it was very much enjoyable, and I have streamed it all, so you know where to check it out at, if you want to check it out. Besides that, man, I don't think I played much console stuff at all this week besides that. I played, like, bits and pieces, but nothing, like, substantial, so, you know, on the handheld front. I'm just going to say Final Fantasy Interlude is, like, the worst Final Fantasy experience I've ever played in my life,
really,
and I'm glad I finished
games.
It. That being said, I moved on to the After Years, which is easily better, but it's still... It's weird, because, like, the Interlude is, like, an in-betweener, but then you start this one... And it's like, you know, had you played this without playing Interlude, it's like, yeah. It's like, I don't know what they were smoking up in Square Enix Japan offices when they were like, make some money off of this game by sequelizing it. But even after playing, like, the Interlude, it's like, just, it doesn't gel well into this one of, like, where people are at and stuff, so. But, it's getting there. You get the slow start at the beginning of, like, stuff's going down, even though it doesn't really explain why, and they really did a terrible job of setting it up, but hey, I'm sure by the end, if it's not, whatever. I mean, at least at the end of this, I can go play 5, so I'll wash that out. that terrible taste out of my mouth with that game, so if it is that bad. So, but right now it's just, I can't even think of his name. That's terrible. Cadence? It was something with a C. I don't even know. Whatever. The main character had an interesting name. And then, like, you have another person with you that's, like, the hooded man. He doesn't even have a name. And we keep getting, like, these random people on our party that's, like, white mage, black mage, because Paul and Bormer are busy, and they're like, oh, here's our disciples. We're too busy to do stuff. Sour deeds. And then, like, when you're helping with the, oh, Yang, that's the monk's name. In, like, the end of interlude, and it's like, oh, let's just go adventure with these other two monk dudes. They didn't have names. Just, like, monk A, B, C. It's like, whatever. They didn't even, like, bother naming, like, the minor henchmen in the game. That's weird. So,
why is that weird? Why would you give nobody's names?
Hey, they're not nobodies.
They kind of are. They kind of are.
They have, like, you know, they're there. They're with you in the adventure. They should have some sort of significance to them, just besides them being some, like, oh, yeah, I'm just a no-name nobody.
That's exactly what they are.
And then I played a bit of The A-Rhythm, so I forgot to bring my Vita with me one day to work, and I was like, no! So basically I just reset all my characters except for a few to, like, level one to get some stuff done in the game for the achievement thingies in the game, but whatever. So that's all I've been playing. Far Cry Primal is effing awesome, though, so, you know. I didn't take any notes this time. I should have took notes, so I could have been like, oh, man, let me go for my notes on this game I took while I was playing it. I forgot. Next time I play a game, Hitman, totally taking notes to be like, this was awesome, that was awesome, and just, like, read them off a list. Way easier. That's all I've been playing.
Disappoint.
Is it me?
I guess. You want.
Because, well, anyway. Yeah, so I actually picked up The Division.
No!
After struggling about it and thinking if I wanted to do it or not, ended up getting it. Yeah, I really like the beta. So, I don't know. I'm not really sure. I think it's just, it's cool. It's like, it's a modern setting RPG, essentially.
RPG.
Or like a modern, it's kind of like a modern setting Diablo, but a third person cover shooter.
That's not the same thing at all. Tropical.
Yeah, so it would be like a, oh, what was that genre they invented for Borderlands? They wanted them to call it something, and they were like, no. Like the
loot shooter?
No, it was some combination of something and RPG. I don't remember what it was. But yeah, like, marketing wanted them to do it. And apparently they were like, eh, that's okay.
We're good. Anyway. But thanks, though.
Diablo with guns? I think that's what it was.
It wasn't Diablo with guns. It was something like, it was the world's first...
Was this supposed to be like a shooter RPG hybrid, wasn't it? It wasn't like any like specific, like they didn't have like an actual genre name for it.
Well, no, they like marketing apparently had come up with a name for what to call Borderlands. Oh. And it was some acronym that was related to RPG in some way, but I forget what it was.
I'm going
to
look it up now.
It's hardly like FPS RPG or something like that.
The nonsense. FPG?
Borderlands nope. Acronym... Marketing.
Anyway, I don't like in the beta. What really got me was the base building part. You get to the base, the forward operating base, and it's like, oh, you have to go rescue these people, and then you'll be able to unlock these parts of the base, and then those parts of the base can be upgraded, and all of those upgrades give you upgrades like perks and new talents and skills and stuff. And I saw that, and I was like, wow, this is awesome. You know, I had thought that this was going to be sort of your DayZ type game where it's just a bunch of people roaming around New York. You're just shooting each other, stealing each other's loot, and it's going to be that type of game. But then when I played the beta, I was like, I ignored everybody. And it was just like a single player RPG, but a shooter. It was like, and I like the way, like, I don't think it feels as good as Destiny to play. Destiny feels really good when you're playing it. And this one is just, sometimes it feels good, but sometimes, like, today would be weird. I would unload an entire, you know, shotgun blast into a guy, and there would be a pause before he went down.
Which, I think because it's, like, it's functioning like an actual, like, one of the, like, Oblivion RPG-type
like
things.
Like, Fallout.
Yeah.
But man, it's freaky because they come at you. They come at you. I was using on these guys that run at you with shields and they have like axes or whatever, little hatchets. And it's scary because it looks like an action game. You're playing it like an action game. They're mid-swing. You hit them with the shot. It doesn't knock them back in the way you would expect. They just keep going. And then suddenly, oh, they're dead and they collapse in front of you. It's like, whew. yeah, I guess with the full game, though, so did you both play the beta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It started, like, you get in Manhattan, and you're in Manhattan, and, like, there's sort of a cutscene at the beginning, and it explains, like, oh, man, everything's gone to hell, and we're the last hope or whatever. Ignore all those other guys running around over there.
I just about to say, the other million people that are there. That's cool.
All those people that are higher level than you. They're not the last hope. You're the last hope. No, like, before that, that's pretty early in the game. Like, that's how far I've gotten. I've beaten basically the stuff that was in the beta. But before that, there's sort of a tutorial section where you're basically just thrown in. I guess you were a cop or whatever, because it shows you getting out of a cop car and closing the door, and your reflection shows in the window, and then that starts, like, the character creation. So you're looking at yourself. Make your character, and then you just go to this safe house, and they're like, yeah, there's some stuff you need to do. And it's very sort of, like, MMO-ish. It's the crap jobs that are just, like, these don't seem to matter to anyone. Go out and kill a bunch of wolves and bring back their hides. This was just like, go get these supplies. Some rioters hijack them or whatever.
Bring back the rioter hides. Kill these guys. Bring back their faces.
So that part is kind of strange because you're just thrown into it. And it's not like they call them rioters. When you think of rioters, you don't think, right, I have to go and, you know, no questions asked. I just go in and kill them all and
murder everyone.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, but wait, they're rioters. Like, shouldn't I go in and be like, all right, people, I'm heavily armed. Just, you know, de-escalate. Everybody go home and nobody dies. But you can't do any of that. You go over there and
you have to murder everyone.
And they're just like, oh, no. And then you're just like, well, I have limited means of interacting with people in this world, so it's either walk up to you and get shot or shoot you until you die.
Huh.
So that's what I did. I was like, wow, that felt really wrong.
It's the world you live in now, Tropical.
Yeah, I guess that is the world we live in now. It felt really wrong. It's like, so, you know, just no context, sort of out of the blue, like, these writers must die. There is no other option. You must kill them all. And it's like, it doesn't even say that. So it feels like it's your choice to kill them all, which makes it feel more wrong. But other than that, it's like, well, once you get past that, it's like, whatever. I guess, you know, they didn't really think about any of that. And it's just like, those are the mobs. Sure, they look like regular people in this game, but they're mobs, so you're just supposed to kill them all, and that gives you XP, and you loot their corpses, and that gives you equipment.
Ah, looting. Fun times.
Yes, it is fun times. Anything else noteworthy about that?
There's a virus.
Yeah, something is going on, and my wife was like, how is this different from any other zombie shooter? And I was like, well,
it's about making sense.
There are no zombies.
For now. I mean,
as far as I know.
It's like, you're going to get down to it, and it's like, oh, this virus just happens to reanimate people, but we're not calling them zombies because reasons.
Man, just the rioter thing has really thrown me off. Because, you know, like, in Infamous, you fight rioters, sort of, right? And Batman, you fight rioters. But then, you know, I guess in Batman, it sort of understood, like, well, we're not killing them, we're just taking them out of the equation. And in Infamous, like, it feels like you do need to fight them. Like, they are this huge threat. They're organized, and some of them are superpowered, and it's like, okay, yeah, like, it makes sense. But here, it's just, they just say, hey, there's rioters over there. They took our stuff. Go get it back.
Murder.
Through murder.
Because, I mean, you don't have to kill them in Infamous, so.
Yeah, you can just incapacitate them in that too. Yeah, at first I was just like, if I shoot this guy in the knee, will he stop and just run away? And I like shot him in the knee, and he's like, oh. And then they start shooting at me. He's like, well, I guess it's on.
Oh. Like you've only angered him.
Oh, yeah. So the other thing I noticed is the NPCs don't have a lot of lines. Like the main character ones, I guess they do, but the mobs that you're fighting, they don't. The first time, like I was fighting guys, and I think it was the first time I played with the volume sort of up a bit so I could hear stuff that they were saying. And one guy was like, oh, I shot one guy and he's like, oh no, they got Alex. And then a few moments later, I shot another guy, and then someone else said, they got Alex. And I was like, his name was Alex too?
he could be like that one guy in Archer, what's his name? The one who keeps getting shot every time, like anybody in
Radio. He died, didn't he?
I think he died in like the most recent one because they got like raided or something, but he like every time, like every season or every, it's like he gets shot and they're like, oh my god, what is wrong with you? Like pick up the phone.
But no, yeah, like I killed another guy and his name was Alex, and then, you know, a couple fights later in a totally different part of the city, it's like, I killed another Alex, and everyone's really upset when I kill the Alexes. Like, I guess it's a common name, so, you know, there could be more than one. But
the fact that you
probably
keep killing them.
Well, I mean, I'm killing everyone. It's not just the Alexes, but they only seem outraged when I kill Alex.
That is great.
It's really funny. It was especially funny with that one, because it was like two in a row. It's like, his name was Alex, too?
Like
when I killed the first Alex, I was sort of thinking, oh, wow, like, they call each other by name, and, you know, it seems like people. And then I killed the second one, and I was like, wait, aw, now the illusion is gone, now it's just sort of goofy.
It's possible that they were just, like, best friends because their names were Alex and...
I killed both Alexes.
Basically. They're like, he killed them both. Both brought together by their shared name, he murdered them both.
Well, in that case, I'm sorry, Alexes of the world, but I'm probably going to kill a whole lot more of them.
Kill all of you.
Yeah. So let's see. So far, I'm liking it. You said you heard bad things about, or you didn't hear good things about it.
I haven't been hearing good things about it.
Huh, like...
But it hasn't been... But it's anything? Mostly just been, like... Mostly just people saying, like, it's boring. And they're like, it's not... It's like Destiny plays better kind of thing. It's nothing that's been like, oh my god, this game is broken, or all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the usual stuff. So, there's nothing, like, terrible, terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Destiny does play better. It's sort of, which game was it? Well, so, the first Gears of War, right? Is sort of credited as being, like, the cover shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But it had issues. Like if an enemy approached you at a certain angle or like got really close or something, if you were stuck to a wall, you couldn't really shoot them and it got all like weird and panicky. It's like that probably shouldn't be the case, because if you have a machine gun and a guy walks up next to you, like it should be a pretty simple matter to get rid of him. But it wasn't, just because of, like, camera design and controls and stuff like that. And eventually, it might have been Uncharted or something. Like, someone made a cover shooter where that was not the case. And they promoted it as such. And so, you would think that, okay, that has happened in video game history, so we should never have this issue again with cover shooters. But the Division has that issue again. When people get really close, it's very hard to fight them off. Like, that's kind of weird. And it gets really panicky, I think.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that in the beta, too, because there's, like, I forget which mission it was. I think I was, like, trying to rescue some guy. I don't really know. But it was just, like, there's that one point where you're inside, like, the warehouse or something, and, like, people... The guys would get too close to where I was, like, undercover, and it would just, like, not work. So I'd have to actually leave cover, like, go across the stage and then, like, shoot them from there.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is kind of...
Yeah.
Annoying.
So that part is kind of, eh. Yeah, Division, I can see where it probably will be like Destiny in the endgame area, but and it doesn't, it just doesn't feel as good as Destiny. Destiny feels really good to play, and this one's like, eh. I like the world. I like building the base. I like sort of the equipment, and as far as upgrades, it feels like there's going to be way more stuff to upgrade and things like that.
But you don't have superpowers.
Yeah. And the shooting is just, you know, there's that weird cover close range combat thing. But I'm starting to see how it could be really cool with a squad, because a lot of the perks remind me of things. Well, I've been playing a lot of Heroes of the Storm, and so it reminds me of stuff like that, because it's like, oh, it adds this small percentage to your basic attack for a certain amount of time. And I sit there and I'm like, it's an M16. I mean, who cares? If I put enough bullets in them, they're going to...
It's like they're going to die regardless.
Yeah, it's like, so what? It takes two more bullets.
It's like,
but then a lot of those perks, I guess, they affect your allies that are around you. And it's like, oh. So eventually, if I play with people, some of this stuff might be really cool.
Yeah, because you can kind of tell, because like I said, like in the beta, like you can see some of the upgrade paths or like perks or whatever, but it seems like it is designed more for, it's like a team-based.
Yeah.
Not for you to be like playing by yourself.
Yeah, a lot of the skills are like, oh, it, if you revive someone, it gives you bonus movement speed or something. It's like, who am I going to revive? I'm by myself.
it's just me. It's like, so if you revive yourself, you get that bonus movement speed.
There's some parts, like, I don't know if they explained them and I just missed it. Like, it always marks where you died last. I was like, what? Why? Like, do I have to go back there and get my stuff? I'm like, nope. It's like, there's just no reason. It's like, so why do you have to torture me with a skull face on my map that shows me this is where someone killed you? Ha 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 ha.
Maybe so you don't repeat the same mistake, I guess? It's like Dark Souls, except you don't have to retrieve anything.
Oh, it was crazy. Like, I was in this apartment complex area, and there were, like, a bunch of guys, like, way more than I've ever fought at once. And they were all, I think, two levels higher than me. And I thought, I got grenades. I can take them. And I went in and killed all of them. But on my radar, there was still, like, a red section. And I looked over there, and there was no one there. I was like, okay, so I don't understand. And then suddenly, I get sniped twice and die. And
oh,
it was like a sniper on a roof over there. I was like, are you kidding me? And then, so, yep, on my map, there's like the red skull where I died. And it's like, oh, all right, I don't know what that's for, so I'm going to go investigate. Maybe it's like, so you know where to get your vengeance or whatever.
Your vengeance.
Or, you know, if I had loot there that I hadn't picked up yet, maybe that's, it tells me where I was. But, you know, that wasn't the case. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go for vengeance. And I went back, and he wasn't there anymore. I was like, what is this even here for?
I mean, at least he was smart enough to, like, leave. He's like, he might
when
come back.
When that guy comes back, he's going to be real pissed. Bad.
Yeah, exactly. But let me get out of here.
So that is a weird thing to think. That guy I killed. When he gets back here,
revived.
He's going to be pissed.
Man. So maybe the virus really does resurrect people. Everyone's a zombie.
I'm the zombie. That's the twist at the end of The Division. Oh, so you know what The Division is?
Yeah, it's a unit that's set up to be all sleeper style when
yeah,
stuff like that happens.
That's weird. What are they there for?
Just in case.
Just in case.
Just in case.
The insurance policy.
Because it starts and it's like, people's watches are glowing.
Activated, yeah. Like random.
Activated. And I was like, did you ever see, you guys are probably too young, do you ever, there was a cartoon called Mask?
Yeah.
Heard you of that one?
Wait, I'm thinking of Jim Carrey's Mask, actually.
Oh, no.
That it's like a army type deal. So they live under a gas station or something.
Yeah, like yeah, yeah. It was exactly the same way. It's like they sent out the call. Or I guess like old Mission Impossible had that sort of opening, right? Like they would select the best agents for him, and then it would, there'd be like a montage of them doing normal stuff, and then
and
be
then just randomly getting
like,
active.
I gotta go.
Is that where that stuff originated from? Because it's like, I know like quite a few like modern shows have kind of played around with that too. So it's like they'll just be like doing their own thing. And then, well, I know. Well, there's like a show I used to watch called Leverage. It's like,
oh, okay.
It's like they kind of did a similar thing where they like all split up after a certain point, but then like they all got summoned back for like the job. So it's like they were all like in the middle of like, one was like robbing one of the museums or something, and they're like all got called at the same time to get like brought back. But yeah, I've seen like other shows like
doing, well, I think,
something
like did the Bourne Identity have that?
Oh yeah, not the Bourne Identity, but it was the second one, I want to say.
It's like when they called all the hitmen.
Yeah, they call them all in to take down Bourne.
Yeah.
He's like, wake them all up now.
Wake them all up.
It was like that. It was like, wait, what were these people? Why were all these American sleeper agents in America for?
I know. Is either the first or the second one, actually? Because I think it's the first one, because that's when he doesn't take out the dude that he, when he like has the flashbacks of like, that's why he didn't do it. Like, that's why they activate everybody, and then like one of theirs takes him out anyway. It's like, oh.
Oh my.
Is it the first or second one? I'd have to rewatch it. I'm pretty sure it's the first one though, because the second one I'm thinking is like, wait a minute, that doesn't happen. Because I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, wait, that doesn't happen. So, and I've seen it quite a few times, so yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, don't you usually put your sleeper agents in other countries? Like, or usually, like, doesn't Russia put their sleeper agents in the U.S.? Isn't that how it goes in fiction?
So, I mean, that's kind of the whole point of being, like, a sleeper agent. If you're already going to be there, it's like, well.
Like, what are the sleeper agents doing in the country that they work for?
It's like, yeah, you're not really, if you're going to get activated for something, it's like, you're already, like,
That's probably what the division is, though. Like, it's just like a like last line of defense for domestic security, I guess, in like some sort of like emergency situation, like.
Although,
that.
So it's like the ROTC's special ops.
Actually, that's funny because, like, yeah, they would be like the third string, like, because it's like they're only needed when like there's nobody else.
I was about to say, it's like, well, you're all we got, so
there's the weekend warrior. And then we're like, basically, when everyone else has died, then it's up to us.
Like, which actually should not, I mean, that should actually concern you a bit, because it's like, huh, I just got activated, and I know we're like the last, I'm gonna ignore this watch. Just pretend I didn't see it. It's fine. They'll never know. They'll never know.
We used to say that in college. It's like, yeah, if the army ever drafts us, then we know.
That
country is in serious trouble.
We've gotten to this point.
We've gotten to the point where any able hands who are able to walk on their own two feet.
Like, are you able to hold a gun? Fine. Here.
Yeah, I'm still, like, not really sure what the division is.
Because how would you even, like, because I feel like if you're, like, recruiting for something like that, how do you, like, explain this, like, so, you know, just in case our Army, our Navy, our Marines, everybody, our police forces, and everybody in the world is, like, dead, you will then be activated to fight. It's like, oh, that's a great selling point, I guess.
Should I be training all the time? I we have no idea when it's going to happen, so don't want to get too tired.
It's like a just in case something horrible goes horribly wrong, then, you know, yeah. So you might want to, like, every once in a while pick up a gun and, like, shoot at bottles or something. But, you know, don't like hurt yourself. The division.
Here. Oh, man, I'm going to look it up now to see if it's, like, based off a novel hero and it, like, explains it better.
That would be great, actually.
Because if not,
it's very confusing.
It's actually kind of sad.
Also, I did remember it is from the first Bourne movie, because, like, yeah, that's when he, like, fights the most other Treadstone people, and they're all just coming in after him. He's all taking them out. It's great. Oh, wow. There actually is, like, a book series based off of Hawks. That's crazy.
Really? Probably not written by him, though.
Oh, good point. Yeah, because it just says Universe.
Man, those games looked really cool.
Which one, the Hawk games?
Hawks. Those looked really cool. everyone was doing Ace Combat style, like fighter plane camera angles and stuff, and Hawks was doing cinematic floating around camera angles. Oh yeah, it looked really cool. Well, while you're looking for that, the other thing I played a lot of this week was Legend of Zelda: The Wind Waker.
No.
Why no?
I have no idea.
That was actually really good. So my favorite Zelda game is actually Link's Awakening on the Game Boy.
That was so long ago.
Yeah.
That's an interesting answer.
I love that one. That one was so good. But this one, first of all, I realized, I guess I've never really played it that far, because I got past the second dungeon, which was the Deku, the Forbidden Forest, Forbidden Forest. And then I started going towards the third one, and then, like, stuff has happened, and so it's not as straightforward as going to another dungeon.
Is this the one with the Red Boat King guy?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I played that one. It's like one of the few Zelda games I actually did play.
It's so good, actually. It's much better than I remember, I guess, because I guess I can't really remember any of it, so I didn't play most of it. I was playing it, and I got to that point. It's like, I have no recollection of this. And then I finished that part, and then there was like the big reveal thing about Under the Sea. And I was like, wow. Well, so I remember this part, but I don't remember playing it at all. And then I remember that, oh yeah, because at the time I was living with two roommates, and one of them is my wife now, and she remembers, like, oh yeah, our other roommate, she played this game a ton. I just remember spending, you know, just like days sitting on the couch watching her play, and I was like, oh yeah, that's probably why I've seen some of this. It's like, wait, that was my game. That was my GameCube.
She's like, nah, he won't mind. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, so I'm finally getting into it. I got to the point where I would imagine if I ever got this far, this is the point where I probably quit. Because it's a point where it's like, okay, there's these two places you have to go, but they're not that easy to get into, so you should just ask around and see if anyone knows, if there's, you know, any information on how to get into them. And, you know, it's that part in these types of games where the world opens up, and usually I'm just like, eh, nah, I don't want to play anymore.
Sure. I think that's what it is. That's probably, like, the main reason why I usually don't play Zelda games, is because when it does get to that point, I'm like, I know I'm going to get sidetracked, and I'm never going to actually do what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's probably a bad idea, because next thing you know, you're like going to random spots in the ocean to pick up stuff with your crane arm, and it's yay, I'm looting the ocean floor when I should probably be getting like the Triforce symbol or something. But like, it's fine. The world can wait.
That is basically what happened. Well, this one was much more, I mean, they gave me direction pretty quickly, but all the traveling across the sea was taking forever. So often I would just like set the wind in a direction and then open my sail and then just like put down the controller and go do something else. Every once in a while come back and say, are we there yet? No?
Nope.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Yeah, I didn't really like the sailing thing, because it does take like a long time for like places that are like all the way across the... It's like, why is there no quick sail
and,
or something?
Like, the ocean is like way emptier than I remember. I thought there was like lots of little islands and stuff, and you know, like your sea chart would just be full of these little islands. But actually, if you look at the sea chart, if you're not zoomed in on the sections, it's just an empty chart. Yeah. There's like a few islands big enough to actually show on the map at the maximum zoom out level. All the other ones, like, whoa, it says there's an island there, but you have to zoom in twice to see it because it's that small. And so, yeah, you really are just going around, and it's just all ocean.
And, yeah, it does take, like, forever. So it's like, okay, this is taking, like, as long as an actual boat trip. Don't know how I feel about this.
So, the other thing is, I guess my daughter sort of feels like it's a storybook, so I've been reading it to her, and I realize the Wind Waker has a ton of dialogue, like so many words. Usually in games, if you have like a text box that you have to read, it's usually like two lines, right?
But it scrolls.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, two lines, and then, you know, you have to push it however many times to get through the conversation. In Zelda, though, there's a whole bunch of pages in that same way, but there are four lines on, like, every page. And you sit there, it's like, wow, there's just so much to read. And it's, they're not even really saying that much more with those extra lines. It's just all, it's like Mark Twain style. You know, it's like all flavor for the character. It's like, this is how they talk.
It's like, I don't care, just get to the point. Just get to the point.
I was like, oh, there's, I'm reading so much stuff. But it makes me, like, makes me feel better. It's like, oh, this is a game that she enjoys watching. And it's a game that I need to finish. So, and, you know, Doctor says that she doesn't have to understand it. It's just good for her to hear lots of words. It's like, okay. I'm going to finish the Wind Waker. Yeah, because I got Twilight Princess too. because she likes the wolf amiibo.
Of course.
And I was like, okay, I mean, I guess I haven't finished that one either. But we should probably finish Wind Waker. Yeah, amiibo's got me. Oh, and next week, like Disney, there's so much stuff happening next week. I'm very excited for next week.
What's happening next week?
Well, there is the PlayStation VR event at GDC. GDC is happening next week. And on the 18th, Daredevil Season 2 comes out.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Sorry. I saw the spot during, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I was like, I don't know who any of these people are, but there's a Season 2 coming.
So go back and watch Season 1! Again!
Because I guess it was like a suit up teaser or something. So they showed like little bits of like Elektra and Punisher.
Oh, actually, so you saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I did.
Did you see the very beginning?
What do you mean?
Like, or it's like 3 months later?
Oh yeah.
And I was like, is this like their Civil War tie-in already?
I know, I was like, isn't this around the same time? Yeah, I was like, this is right around the time. So now I'm like curious as to how it's gonna like affect the, because it's like it does come out like right before their season like ends. So
yeah, I'm like, oh, they're gonna do something. I know it. Look, they're doing it now.
Crazy. I like the new character that they added this season too, but they already split up the Secret Warrior, so it's like, huh, that was quick. Well,
oh, it's gonna be fun. And then also Marvel Battlegrounds for Disney Infinity 3.0 comes out.
I want to get that so Tuesday. Bad, so bad.
It's some pretty good deals.
Because I was like, this kind of looks like Power Stone, except with Marvel characters. And wait, I'm like, I used to love Power Stone back in the day.
Do you have the starter kit yet? Not yet?
No, I don't have like anything yet.
Oh, okay. I don't think there's any deals next week. It's like the week after there's some really good deals.
Ooh.
Yeah, if anyone listening is a huge Disney Infinity fan, like InfinityInquirer.com is just an amazing Disney Infinity news website. It's just like they have everything. And every week he posts like, oh, the best deals for Disney Infinity stuff. I think it works because like the site is just so focused on the one thing. So they just get everything on it. It's great.
Interesting.
So yeah, with that coming out next week, I guess I also have to finish the Force Awakens playset. Oh yeah, so do those count? Do the playsets count? How do I beat Disney Infinity?
I just want to say, I don't know if you can.
I don't know. I just haven't played Disney Infinity, so I'm not even sure how it qualifies. So I have no idea.
Does it have like a story mode that you can beat?
Yeah, like
have a credit roll that rolls after the story mode is done.
Each playset is a story mode.
So I guess you would technically have to beat all of them, wouldn't you? For that,
is there a trophy that's like you finished the thingy?
You finished everything.
Well, no. So the way they did trophies for those is they wanted to make sure that you could get it just by buying the starter kit.
Oh dear.
So you can get all the trophies with just the starter kit. You just play a lot of the same stuff over again. So like with the 1.0, they were just one of the trophies was like complete, or the playset trophy in the end was like complete 3 playsets, which is what came with the starter kit. So they wouldn't be like buy everything and beat them all and you get a bronze.
Interesting.
I don't think there are any playset trophies in the new one in 3.0. I think it's all tied to like character progression and stuff. Yeah, like can we beat Destiny?
Yes.
Yes.
There is like a story mode you can beat, so technically, like, we've all beaten it.
It's like you can do that in Disney Infinity, sort of, right?
Then yes. Then I guess I don't know. I haven't played it.
Story. I played through the original Saga playset, and it went through 4, 5, and 6. And at the end, it was done, and it was over. The credits didn't roll, but like it was a complete story.
I don't know. I don't know how that works with that game.
Disputed column.
I have no idea how that works with that game. I don't know.
Me neither. So I don't know if I've made it, if I will make any progress. Wind Waker, I anticipate, is going to take a few more weeks, even at the rate that I'm playing, which is pretty,
long game.
Yeah, she likes to watch.
Maybe we should just like add a column for like non-traditional games, and then like DLC and anything therein would go, and that would be like where you put the playset stuff. It's like non-traditional games.
I mean, because
like,
technically some of the playsets
play through credit roll DLC or play through the stuff that was there, but it wasn't like a full game.
Because I guess in a way it's kind of like free to buy.
And the girl doesn't have a point.
Because Freedom Cry is DLC. Like, it was released as a standalone DLC after it was a DLC for the original game.
So it was Left Behind, right?
So it was Left Behind. So it's like, the credits do roll at the end of Left Behind. But then, like, the credits also roll on every episode of, like, The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I was just about to say, because then that means you can film, like, five games in one
time. We don't really dispute that one.
Well, the entire season, though. Yeah. It's like, what counts for that?
I understand that whole thing. But Freedom Cry and Left Behind and...
Well, those don't count because they're just DLC add-ons.
So it would seem like the playsets...
So they count similar to the playsets because it's like the playsets are kind of like DLC. But
yeah, but then the problem is like you can't beat... Like there's nothing to beat in the base game. There's only stuff to beat in the playsets.
This is so confusing. Why, Disney? Why? Why?
Well, I mean, it's our competition, so we can rule it in whatever way we like.
Yeah, but if you
obviously, I am in favor.
I was about to say, it's like,
but
well,
intellectually,
yeah,
I'm like, huh, I don't know if that really counts.
Because if that's the case, then that means you could basically just like play. You would get like 20 points or something. Yeah, but that's cheating.
All right, whatever. The disputed column.
We'll figure it out eventually.
Over nothing right now, because I haven't actually had done it yet. It could never happen. Because that does happen.
Duh.
So yeah, I think those were the only two that I played and have stuff to say about. Because obviously I played Heroes of the Storm. So fun. Gotta get my gold. So much gold. Oh, I'm going to buy early access to Paragon.
Don't do it.
I want it.
Don't do it.
So, like, I have a bunch of PSN money. And, you know, they just announced the PlayStation launch promo event.
Are they free to play stuff?
No, that's the sweepstakes. Oh, okay. So launch is the it's sort of like Spring Fever from your.
Oh yeah, the digital games.
Yeah. Computer. And like this year, like all six of them are games that I've been looking forward to. So I'm like, oh, okay, so I want those, but I also want to be, you know, with Hitman from the beginning. And then I want to play Paragon. So I was like, what do I do? I don't have that much PSN money saved up.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I'm thinking of doing the cheapest Paragon, and then just the intro pack for Hitman, which, like, eventually I guess I'll end up paying $5 more for Hitman, but I'll be paying less initially, and I get to participate in all the live events, so that'll be cool.
I missed the beta for that.
It was fun.
It was too late, and I was like, no.
It was really bad, though, because I played, so it was that one with the jet and the cockpit thing, and having seen someone do it with the ejector seat, I just couldn't think of another way to do it.
It's like it's already there, so it's like, now I have to do it this
way. Yeah, I was like, well, I mean, it seems so clean that way, you know? No one even knew. You just walked out. The guy is just like, well, he died in an accident. I was like, that's so awesome, but I don't want to do it that way, so how am I going to do it? So I ended up
dying in a mysterious plane fire.
I was, like, dressed up as one of the guards from the front, and I went inside and was like, oh, there's a pipe that I can climb up, and then I can see in the window of the room that the guy is in. I was like, oh, so I'll just climb up there and then, you know, climb in the window and then strangle him with the throat thing, because, you know, that's like his signature weapon.
I think it's funny because, like, when Tropical was like this dragon, he's going to do, I'm just like, oh, he's just going to climb up and shoot him in the head, right?
Nope.
And he's like, no, I'm just going to climb up
and choke him.
Well, I may have been influenced because in the first mission, like, I shot him in the head. Because, like, the tutorial tells you to shoot him in the head. And I was like, oh, okay. So I shot the first guy in the head. And so the second guy, I didn't really want to do the same thing. And I also wanted to avoid doing the thing I saw in the video. So I was like, okay, I'm going to climb up the pipe, get in the room, strangle the guy, get out, and go. And I was like, was the plan.
Oh.
It did not work out that way. Yeah. I climbed up the pipe and started moving over to the window. But I guess a guard saw me and was like, oh, crap. And I turn around and, like, he's, like, coming over. He's like, look, obviously confused. Like, what's that? He's what's that officer doing up there?
No, there's what are you doing?
So I pulled out my silence pistol, shot that guy, and then one of his buddies saw, and I shot that guy. I was like, oh, cool, no alarm. No alarm.
Like,
but now there's, like,
quickly.
Two bodies on the ground. And then suddenly I hear someone else say, hey, what's going on? Are you guys all right? I was like, oh, no.
Like, great, now I have to go kill him.
Look at him. Shoot him in the head, too, so he's down. So that's three down already. Then I get to the window, and there's someone else there. It's not the guy. I was like, dang it! So I pull that guy out the window, and he falls on the ground. So there's a pile of four guys, like, right under this window.
Basically, you RPG'd this up is what's happening. Because that's what it sounds like. It's like well...
And it was weird, like... The way the game responded, suddenly, like, I guess a fifth guy went over there, and he started reporting in, saying, like, yeah, I found all these guys down, but I don't see anyone here, so he must have run away. And I looked down, and he was just, like, putting the guys in body bags, and, like, as if, like, well, they're dead, and I don't see anyone here, so nothing I can do.
Basically,
I guess I'll just clean up. And I was like, What is happening down there? So I ended up climbing into the window, and the guy, he knew that something was going on, so instead of running away, he was just, like, cowering in the corner, and I couldn't bring myself to strangle him, so I shot him in the head, too, and then left.
Ah. Yep, that sounds about right. Sounds like all my attempts at stealth games. It's like, this is escalating quickly, guys. Because, like, I played this day, and now it's like I have to adapt because reasons.
Yeah, like, I guess I haven't played a Hitman game in a long time, so it was very difficult for me to think how I could go about it in another way. Because, well, Tekken, you played the beta, right? So
yeah.
in the beginning, you do two on the yacht, and the first one, they basically tell you what to do, And the second one, they're like, oh, you can do whatever, kill the guy again on the yacht. And yeah, I just had like, I was like, I have no idea. Like that way we just did it. That was perfect. Why didn't we, we should just do it that way all the time. Like, fine, I'll do some other way. And I look around and say, oh, here's a big gun here. And oh, here's some explosives. And I just like went it. It's like, oh, a lockpick. It's like, well, that doesn't really fit with the other two things, but maybe it'll be useful. So I picked up the big gun, shot three guys, went over to the gate. It's like, oh, the gate is locked. Perfect. Lock the gate. Climb up the backside of the boat. And then somebody saw me, and I was like, ah, dang it. Why do I look suspicious? I'm just a guy in a black suit. Oh, you mean the big gun? It's like, well, okay. And so I shot him, and then it was very loud, and like people started coming up, shot all of them, and then it said clear. I was like, I guess I killed all the guards. Go down, shoot the guy. It's like, see, you know, that was so messy. Why would we ever do it this way? Obviously, we want to do it the first way.
Because reasons. Because all of us can't do it the first way, Tropical. So the other option needs to be available. That's how that works.
I could do it the first way. The problem was when they asked me not to do it that way, then I was just like, well, so, guns blazing? Guns blazing! And I even blew up the explosives for no reason. Just like,
just for <'cause>, the
yeah. After I killed the guy on my way out, I was just like, well, I still got this bomb.
Might as well just blow up the
boat, I guess. I threw it over in the parking lot, it exploded, and then I ran to the car. Maybe it distracted them. I don't think so, though. I think they were all dead.
This is what happens whenever I play, because like, that's what happens when I play like Deus Ex. Like, the first issue you had with, during your plane mission has basically every scenario for me in Deus Ex in Human Revolution. I was like, I would shoot one guy with a silenced gun, and then all of a sudden some random person will just come around the corner like, hey, what's this? It's like, crap, now I have to kill him. And then it's like, another person will come out of nowhere, like out of the bathroom or something, like, crap, now I have to kill him. And just like, the bodies kept piling up, and Richard's like, okay, we have to just kill everyone, because clearly this is not working. So it's just like, yeah, I just think I have just terrible luck. So these things have to be in place for people like me, because...
Sneaky, 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 until everything goes wrong.
Basically. And then it's like, sometimes I actually get lucky, and it's like, okay, I can get rid of the body, but then, of course, for some reason, the NPC would be like, let me check this room for no reason. And it's like, are you serious? Are you being serious right now? So it's just like, this is terrible.
That's how, actually, you know, if I... in the past, I remember doing that a lot in Metal Gear, but I would trank them all. So it'd just be a pile of like 6 or 7 guys on top of each other sleeping. It's like, it's so effective. You make one guy fall asleep in clear view of another guy, and the other guy's just like, hey, what's wrong? Yeah. And he walks over, and you, and he falls down too. Then someone else, huh? Walk over, and yeah, you just keep doing it, and then pretty soon the base is empty. That's kind of stealth.
Not.
Because, like, when they wake up, they're all going to be looking at each other and be like,
did you fall asleep?
No one
on the
will let us never speak of this.
So did you. It's like, man.
The alternative was in the beginning of MGS2, just like, throw them off the boat after you put them to sleep.
I think that counts as killing them then, because...
Yeah, maybe. Because drug-induced sleep is not regular sleep.
I'm just about to say, that's not going to wake them up.
They don't necessarily wake up when they hit the water.
So it's like, huh, well, I'm just going to never wake up because I drowned. Yeah.
I woke up dead, which means I didn't.
Basically.
Yeah, I guess I played the Hitman demo, or beta. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Cool. So.
If you get Hitman, we can just have our stories every weekend. So, how'd you guys kill that target? Like, well, I'm doing a very smoothie for you. This is going to be a fun time.
Just blood and
how
body.
How high was the body count?
It's like, guys, there was blood everywhere. There was so much blood. It's like, it got to a point where I don't know
why I wear this white shirt. I just don't want to say it.
Like, I don't even know where
I'm wear red it. Or a poncho.
It's like, we're in the middle of... I don't know where the people kept coming from. Yeah, it would be rough. When is that supposed to be coming out, though?
Friday,
yeah.
That's like soon. Didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's 2 a.m. Central, which means midnight Pacific. Thanks, Square Enix. Thanks. Whatever.
Keep in mind, they are like an overseas company, so it's like...
Wait, 2 a.m. on Friday?
2 a.m. Central on Friday morning?
Friday morning. Oh, that's fine then. Since I will not be...
I'll be
probably playing that early.
I might get it then. Maybe. I'll think about it. Maybe. Or is it just like you can buy it episode by episode if you want or something? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so there's the full experience, they call it, which is $60, you know, regular $0 above MSRP. And that gets you episodes. I think it's 7 episodes, right? 1 to 7?
I don't know.
That's what I've heard. And then, or you could buy the intro, which is the prologue, which was the beta, and the first episode for 15. And that gives you actually the access to all the live events as well. And then from there, you can buy each episode for 10. Or you can buy an upgrade pack on top of the intro for, I think it's 50.
So it would basically just be cheaper to just get the season.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Cheapest dollar-wise is the season pass. It's 60. If you do the intro and then the upgrade, it's 65. And then if you do the other one, it's like 75, I guess.
Wait, which one did you guys do?
I haven't got the full version.
I haven't done it yet.
Oh, you haven't done it?
I'm thinking of doing the intro for now.
Maybe. The only problem is, though, because it's like...
Who killed the least people?
Well, I
mean, on the way to kill that one guy. It's not a morality thing. It's a pride and skill thing.
I would lose every week or every whatever episode. So it's like, that wouldn't be much of a challenge against me. So it's like, well, it's like, I know I'll always win against me.
Have you killed anyone? Yes, but they were all bad.
They all deserve it. The only way I can rationalize it to myself. They all deserve it. But yeah, we'll see. But I was playing Final Fantasy Explorers because once Monster Hunter Generations got announced for the localization, I was like, I'm going to have to finish up my other Monster Hunter-esque game. Otherwise, it's not going to get donezy. So I finished that game up. Well, you know, got to the credits anyway. And then it's like, all the post-game stuff is there, and it's like, yay, I'm not playing this. I'm done. So, it's like, I've gotten my fix for the moment, because, like, both God Eater and Monster Hunter Generations are supposed to be coming out this year, so that means I'm going to have plenty of other hunting of monster shenanigans going on, so I had to get that out the way. And then that way I can just devote all my 3DS time to Fire Emblem, and so I get, like, a new 3DS, because... I'm gonna have to before it's too late, because I can't use a broken 3DS for Monster Hunter. So I'm gonna have to end up going ahead and buying a new one, unfortunately. So that's gonna happen soon. But yeah. Mostly just been playing Fire Emblem Conquest. I was like, wait, which one's the one I bought? That one. Conquest. So I'm in chapter 20 now, and we're still, like, trying to end our war and everything, and I've been busy making my child soldiers, so I have, like, I think it's, like, I have, like, 6 or 7 of them now, or something like that. So the kids are great because they're all like, they're kind of like the best of both worlds, because it's like they get like their parents' skills, but they also have like, some of them are like completely different classes and stuff. So it kind of like, they get like even, and so then they get like other skills on top of it. So it's like, it's kind of cool. Cause like the one, like Midori, she's my ninja's, his daughter, but she's like an apothecary. Or why I upgraded her into a merchant, but it's like, so it's like she gets like all these luck based skills and like things that like boost her item uses, but she also like inherited his lethality. I can't say words with L's in them, but it's like a skill where it's like a one
lethality.
Yeah, it's something like that. It's like a guaranteed one hit kill when it activates. So it's like whenever they like activate it, it's like they'll use whatever attack they use, and then like the whole screen will turn red and like blood splotches will come up, and then like the person would just like die. So it's like, it's great because she's an archer, so it's like I can like, if it activates from like long distance attacks, it's like, haha, you could never touch me, you never stood a chance. So it's great. But yeah, the kids are great because it's like they're basically like armies in and of themselves, all alone on their own. So it's like I can start phasing out their parents and just like using them on the battlefield. So it's great. It's just great. I've also been like fortifying my castle and stuff from invaders. So I've been getting like the notifications where it says like my defenders won against people who've been trying to seize my castle. And I was like, good. They'll learn to not cross my peoples. But yeah, it's been a fun time. But this is apparently a very long game because, like I said, I'm in chapter 20 now. So, and it does not seem like I'm anywhere near like an ending. So that means I still have to finish that before I even get to Birthright, and then finish all of that before I even get to Revelations. So it's like we're looking at like hundreds of hours. I can already see it now. So it's like, I'm never going to finish these games. It's like, I'm never going to finish them. And then Dark Souls 3 comes out in like a month. So yeah, it's going to be like a rush job. Although I'm kind of debating on if I should get like another 3DS before I get Revelations, because that one's digital only. So I don't want to have to, I don't want to like buy it and then it's like, I have to like go through whatever transfer process it is for the 3DS or whatever. So I'm like, should I get one and then just wait to buy, or wait until I like buy one later on down the line and then buy it. So still kind of debating, but like I said, I still have to get through like Conquest and Birthright first anyway. So it's fine mostly, but that's all I've been playing. No, I think. Maybe. Yeah, I think so.
Okie dokie.
Oh, well, this isn't something I've been playing. But, so, I was at the barbershop getting my haircut or whatever. And then, like, this guy came in and he had, like, the Samsung VR thingy.
Ooh.
So he was, like, showing the other barber guy who had just came in. He's like, oh, I got this thing. And then the guy was like, what's that? And he's like, it's VR. And he's like, he was almost like a drug dealer kind of. I was like, I'm not. it's like, you need to try this, man. You need to try this. And it's like, I don't like where this is going, guys. He like gives it to the guy and he's like showing him. He's like, now look up. Now look down. Now look to your right. Now do you see it? Do you see all of it? And he was like making it just seem so, it was just so weird. I don't know. But then the guy was all like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then of course this distracted the barber while he was cutting my hair. I was like, you gotta be kidding me right now. He's like, oh, but I gotta go see this. I gotta go see this, man. I was like, just go. He's like, so he goes and gets it and he's like, oh man, this is great. I don't even know, man. And then like, it's like they were passing it around. And I was like, so, you know, Phil's in here. I need to finish my haircut. It's like, man, this is going to be great. And you're like, how much does this cost? And he's like, it's only $99. Now, ignoring the fact that you need the $600-plus phone that has to go inside of it. But yeah, it's like, nah, yes, the thing itself is $99, but it's not a complete unit without the phone. But yeah, it's like, oh, man, I have that kind of money right now. It's like, you should get one. you should get one. So then he was like showing the other guy like some skiing game or something. He's like, man, all I need is like a fan, and I feel like I'm going down the mountain for real. It was just like this whole thing, and they're just like, it's like, guys, get back to work. like, what are you doing right now? Like, can we do this when I'm like not here right now? Because it's like,
wait, are you getting one this Friday?
Huh?
Are you getting one this Friday?
Well, I pre-ordered the phone, but it's like to do like it doesn't like when you pre-order it doesn't actually like come with it. You have to like go like to
mail almost, like, order or something.
Like, yeah, and then you like put in like your phone's like IP or whatever some nonsense, and then they send it out to you after that.
Yeah,
but yeah. I pre-ordered the phone though, because I'm like overdue for a new phone.
So. Yeah, like the deal is better than I thought it was. Excuse me, it's the phone, right? And then Gear VR, and then like 6 games or something, and then like more memory or something.
A free year of Netflix and like some and the expandable memory thing or some crap. All this other nonsense. But I'm like, it's like, I mean, I guess that's.
I mean, you can almost buy 2 PS4s really for it, but they're giving you a lot of stuff.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, Tropical, you say it like that. It makes me remember, oh, that's right. That's why I don't have a cell phone. Why I never will.
You should get a cheap one, though.
You should have, like, so, yeah, I was about to say, you should have, like, some kind of.
Yeah.
Like, don't even have to get, like, one of the, like, newer ones. Just, like, get, like, an older.
Like, the developing world doesn't have computers. They have smartphones. Like, that's how they access the internet.
Good.
Yeah, you should at least just get like a cheaper one or something. It would be in your benefit to do so.
Or like if you don't want, or you have a tablet.
Yes.
Yeah. That's fine.
But it's not a phone.
Yeah, but I mean, well, like I guess it depends on your lifestyle. We used to not have phones and we lived fine.
Well, you did. I mean, we didn't have cell phones. I was too young to know, so it didn't matter. But
ah, yes, the last generation to remember the world without the internet.
So, yeah. But, yes, that happened, and I was like, okay, well, if these guys are getting this excited about VR, then I can only imagine how people who actually play games are probably going to be all, like, all over this then, because it's like... It's like they were so amazed by something so simple as just looking up and down. I was like, just imagine if you actually played a game on it. You would have probably like lost yourself, like just lost it. Just completely lost it.
Oh, man. Speaking of that, I was playing around with some Cardboard demos, like Google Cardboard VR stuff. Mm-hmm. And, well, so a thing happened to me, and then I was reading about VR and like, it totally made sense, and they need to do something. So what the article was talking about was horror games in VR are, like, way more intense because, like, in real life, when you're watching it on TV, like, you can look away. You can close your eyes, look away, and, like, cover your ears.
But you can't
do two of those things in VR.
You did that.
And, it is, like... Because they were talking about the demo of something from HTC Vive something, and like basically the demoer was like, okay, so yeah, if it gets too intense, like you just raise your hand and we'll get you out of there.
We'll get you out.
Like, oh my god.
Like, we'll pull you out. It's like, don't worry.
We'll unplug you like in the Matrix,
basically.
Yeah, like one of my predictions of this year is actually someone. Like, there will be at least one death related to, like, VR. I posted it somewhere, and someone was like, does, like, porn VR count? And I was like, in that case, it will be more than one death.
It'll be a lot of them. Because I think I, like, mentioned that before when we were talking about, like, VR, and I was like, maybe, like, a survival horror type game would be the way to go for me to, like, be interested in it, but... Like,
no. Oh, I'm yeah, like, so the thing that happened to me with Cardboard, I was playing this thing, and it was just called, I think it was just called VR Entertainment. Like, it had this really generic name, and I was just watching it, and it's just, like, a series of different environments. It's really cheaply made. I think they just, like, bought some assets in the Unity Asset Store and just threw them in a room, And so, like, you look in, and you're in this room, and there's, like, a small end table with a pizza on it, half-eaten pizza. And then to your right is, like, or you can look down and see the sort of lounge chair that you're sitting in. And then if you look off in a direction and push the button, then it switches where you are. And so the first one was just, it was just, like, abstract. There's this table here, there's this chair here, and you're just in this abstract environment. It's like, okay, whatever. Clicked it, and I was, like, in a park. And I was looking around, I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, the lighting has changed. The pizza model and, like, the end table, they're really well modeled. So it looks really real. It's like, oh, it's just, it's right there. And I'm just in the park, and it's a sunny day, and it looks nice. And then suddenly, like, it turns really dark and stormy, and, like, essentially sort of a Slender Man-type character appears in front of you. And I was like, holy, oh, I can't look away.
I'm going to say it's like, you can't. It's a trap.
I was like, whew.
Actually, something was, like, this, like, would be kind of, this would be kind of like, if they, like, if Nintendo still came up with that, that heart rate sensor thing that they were doing, like, this combined with, like, VR to do, like, something similar to, like, what's the name of that game with the insanity meter?
Eternal Darkness.
That one. If they did something like that, that, like, kind of, like, made things more intense as your heart rate, like, got worse or something, it's, like, still a person.
Yeah, I like, feel like Kojima's Silent Hills or whatever would have killed people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not unleashed on the public. They'd just be like, yeah, we put a guy in the hospital from focus testing.
It's like, oh, God.
And, yeah, the VR, it was like, in hindsight, I'm thinking back, like, you know, the pizza and everything was super well modeled, and the creature was just, like, not well modeled at all, but it was just, like, so intense. I was like, oh! There's not even sound, I don't think.
It's like, but you couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I was like,
it's like you're trying.
You can't, like, back up or anything. You're just, like, you're stuck in that position as it gets closer to you.
It's like, could you imagine somebody, like, panicking and actually trying to physically run? They're like, but it's like,
yeah, I've seen people fall out of chairs, you know, like, playing VR roller coasters. And so, it was crazy.
This is gonna, it's gonna, man, be that, a hilarious, it's gonna be hilarious, that
takes,
like, launch.
That takes external intrusion to a whole other dimension. I don't even want to think about it.
This is going to be great. Like, I can't wait to hear the stories. It's going to be hilarious.
Man destroys PS4. And tries to run away from virtual creature. Yeah, you try to run away and you just pull your whole setup off the wall.
Wow. It's like, even after the Wii, there's still a use for the Wii cage, yeah. Because, you know,
the Wii cage,
protect yeah. your stuff and yourself. This time it'd be, like, padded.
It's like the PS4 cage is for the PS4. And when you run away, it just, like, hits the wall of the cage.
And you can, or you can, like, have it for people where it's, like, it kind of treadmill in it, so that way you can't actually go anywhere from running, and it just, like, like, spike. So that way you can, you'll still be in one spot, but you'd be, like, running and not into walls.
Like a playpen.
Some, like, harness thing so that you're hanging from it, so you're, like, dangled above the ground, so you're not really moving. Well, you are, but you're not, like, on the ground moving, so you know.
This is going to be fantastic.
You can't go anywhere.
Just fantastic.
Or anything.
Yeah. I mean, I would have, in my mind, I was like, oh, yeah, that would be the case if that had not just happened to me, like, the day before. Then I read it, like, that is so true. Oh, my gosh. I don't think I can play anything scary.
I would love this. They need to make an Until Dawn like this, and I'd be like, I'm all in. I'm all in, guys. I'm all in.
Yeah, I think I read that. It was, like, developer tips about VR, and someone was like, be careful, like, not to scare your users, like, scare the player. Like, if you tell them it's a scary game, then, you know, they're sort of prepared. But if you're just like, oh, this is a happy game, and then you do that, you know, that thing that people used to do with the YouTube video where it's like, oh, you look really close, and then it's like, Poltergeist pops up.
Oh, yeah, at the end, it's like, ah! I'm like, oh, my gosh, why?
Someone's going to die.
It's like when you die in virtual reality, you die in real life. It's like Dot Hack, guys. It's like Dot Hack. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it. Japan warned us so many times. So many times. We didn't listen. We didn't listen.
Apparently IBM is making Sword Art Online. Like, for real.
Oh, no. Did they learn nothing? Did they learn nothing? Well, I am not beta testing that game. Nopity nope nope with the sound of nope. We get these weird messages just like, oh, yeah, by the way, you can never leave.
It's like, oh, commencing no. Coma in 3.
It's like, no. Yeah, I can't wait until, like, VR and to that point where basically like full mental immersion and just like, yep, now when something happens in the game, it like completely overstresses your body and kills you because full immersion, guys. Full immersion. It was the next logical step.
It's what we wanted, I guess.
Is it though? Like, because I don't think that's what I wanted. I was never like, hey guys, let's give us this full immersive VR situation where we could get inevitably trapped in there, or you know, there's no way this could go horribly, horribly wrong. Let's make sure all these good old robots and drones we're creating have feelings, because, you know, that can't turn out terribly. It's like we're moving exactly in the direction we warned ourselves not going. And it's like, understand. It's like we've made countless movies and animes and video games about these exact things that we're doing right now, and we're still doing them. So, yeah, we're doomed. We're doomed. So don't be surprised when The Matrix happens, because we kind of brought this upon ourselves.
All right. Middle segment.
All right, so yeah, let's see. For some reason I keep thinking Black Hole. I don't know why, but not Black Hole.
Did you watch a documentary about it recently?
Blind Spot Games. So it's like, you know, usually at E3, it's like the one time of the year when like stuff will come on your radar and you're like, oh man, I'm looking forward to that. And then like if it's depending on the game, whatever, it's like you'll keep track of it and follow it and be like up and like from the time you hear about it until it's released, it's like, oh yeah. But then there's so many games, there's so many other games that are like, you know, out there, and like you didn't even hear about them and you don't even know they're out there until you're checking the store, and it's like, oh, that's a cool game. I'd never know about that. Or you see it on sale, and it's like, oh, that seems cool, because you're looking at the description in the store, because like, that's happened to me so many times on PSN, where it's like, and then like eventually you buy it, and then if you're like me, it's like you don't play, because you have a backlog, but you know, whatever. That's a whole other type of... that's all another conversation. But you know, it's like, you know, Game Trailers, they had this thing where like every month they'd have this like sweet video reel, or I guess beginning of every month, of like games of whatever month it is, and then it's like, oh, that's coming out this month, and it'd be like a little reminder to me of like what's coming out. But then they're dead now, so not happening. And I don't follow any gaming sites or news really, so that's a whole thing. So it's like, it seems like every game, well, not every game, but like the stuff I'm not looking forward to is just like under my radar, like in my blind spot, and it's just like, you know, how do you keep games that are like, you know, out there that might interest you. Like, there's probably like so many that are just like slipping through the cracks and we're missing, that are just flying through the blind spots, and someone is dropping the ball somewhere. And yeah, how can we prevent stuff like that and stuff? Or that's what the gaming blind spot is and stuff.
I think there's no way to cover it all for everybody, especially now. There's too many games, and I don't. It's sort of, well, so on the one hand, you got developers, and all developers want everyone to know about their game. And then it used to be like gaming media is sort of in between, and they would cover every single game. And then like, that's how, so like, yeah, like your first, as a developer, you needed to get press interested in your game, and then they would tell everyone. But now there's just so many of them that the press are sort of like, they feel like, oh, we're the gatekeepers now. So, wait, that doesn't make sense. So, well, originally when there were fewer games, like, they covered everything. But now it's like there's so many that they're like, yeah, now we're the gatekeepers. Now developers need to impress us, and then we will tell people about their game. Which is, I guess it's sort of weird. Like, press should be covering everything, I think. But then when it becomes, you know, they're like the tastemakers, then it becomes like, well, okay, so the press are somehow more important. You know, what they like is more important than what everyone likes.
But then, that kind of becomes a problem, because like if certain, I guess, like media outlets or something are like, they like prefer a certain developer or genre or something, it's like, then they're going to like intentionally like cover mostly their stuff. And then it's like, well, now all this other stuff is going to get like thrown to the wayside. Cause it's like, well, it's not what I want to cover. So.
Yeah. Like, this thing that they used to put together on game trailers, was it the monthly release video?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, this is another part of it is, game release dates are really hard to find. Like, if you go right now, go on Google and try to find a release list of every game for the year, you can't find it. And then you can find, like, maybe games coming out in the next 2 weeks. But it's hard to get comprehensive lists of everything that's coming out.
I guess that's a good point, though. It's like, it seems like it's only towards when it's, like, approaching something's release date that you can actually, like, nail it down.
Yeah. And
actually be focused on it. Because the farther out it is, the worse it is, because Mass Effect just got delayed. So yeah. It's a whole other year of waiting.
We've seen two short videos of Mass Effect, a few screenshots, and or not even screenshots, like renders of some sort, and then news that it's not going to be out this year. Another thing with release dates now is, like, the platform holders, they seem to have a lot of power over that. And they don't tell anyone when release dates are unless they have some sort of promo that's happening. So a lot of the digital games, it's really like, I have no idea when we're coming out.
Actually, there is a game that was on PlayStation. It's also coming out on PlayStation VR, Thumper, because like it doesn't have a release date. But like I was already looking forward to it. But like now I have a feeling it's going to be even later because it's on PlayStation VR. So it's like I have to wait even more now to like finally play that effing game. But whatever. So yippee skippy. That was like another small game I was looking forward to. Mm. I'm still waiting.
Well, so how are you? Like you just have tons of blind spots now because you're not following anything.
Essentially, if I don't see it at, like, a trade show or something from, like, trailers at, like, TGS or E3 or GDC or something, then it's, like, it's not known to me, and it's, like, it just goes that way until I just see it on the store and, like, look at the description or, like, a video on the store. If there's a video for it, like, oh, that was cool. Huh. Like Rogue Galaxy. I'm just on the store one day looking through your games. Like, oh, $20. In space? What? Exploration. It's just like, whoa, man, got me going. And I was like, how did I know about this game until, like, it was already out and I didn't know about it. I was like, wow, no way, that's terrible.
I don't think there was any coverage of Rebel Galaxy either. I mean, I have to look, but I don't think there was any coverage. So I don't think anyone,
So if there's, like, no coverage of the game, like, how does that happen? Does that just mean, like, the developer just, like, doesn't, like, promote their game at all, or you just don't hear about it?
Well, a lot of these games, like, even this week, there was a bunch of games that came out this week that I don't think anyone has really heard of. And, yeah, like, part of, you know, if that's the problem that we're talking about, then part of that is, yeah, like, the press is interested in what they're interested in. And they receive so many requests. Or, you know, like, it's weird to be in the press. Like, you get press releases. And on the one hand, you feel like, well, we are writing news. This is something new, so it is news, so I should just write everything. But on the other hand, then you feel like, but then I'm just a PR guy. You know, like, their PR sends it to all of us, and then we just, like, say what they want us to say. Like, so that doesn't really feel like the press's function either. And so you do get kind of like, now, then, you know, I would just, like, pick the ones that are interesting stories and ignore all the other ones. And then, so yeah, then you end up with all these games that, because, like, I always feel like the press is pretty homogenous. everyone sort of likes the same stuff.
You're always hearing about the same thing.
Yeah, so then what happens is, like, all those games, like, the games that are, you know, always the bridesmaid, that, like, no one hears about them. Like, this week on PS4, or on PSN, Action Hank came out, so there's been coverage of that. A game called Alien Shooter, zero coverage. Blast'em Bunnies, pretty sure was zero coverage. Assault Android Cactus had coverage. Casey Powell's Lacrosse 16. Did you know there was a lacrosse game that came out today?
I was about to say, like,
Don't Die, Mr. Robot for PS4. Like, that's a PS4 game. Dre, I think I saw this once on the PlayStation blog, and that's the only place I ever saw it. Like a puzzle game. Colot, we covered last week on RRR. Apparently narrated by Sean Bean and powered by Unreal Engine 4. Have heard nothing. Pixel Hunter on Vita. Didn't know anything about that game. Tetraminos on PS4. Nope. Whitetail Challenge. This is a hunting game that came out on PS3 yesterday. That. But yeah, like, most of those games we heard nothing about before they came out. The only ones we heard anything about were Hitman, The Division, and that's it. Oh, Rise of the Kasai, PS2 digital, PS2 to PS4 digital, and that's it. It's a very different time now.
I mean, I know from a marketing standpoint, it's like, marketing and advertising costs money. Sometimes these people just may not have the extra funds to, like, really, you know, market it heavily and kind of just hope that someone covers it and hopes that word of mouth just happens to get out. Like, hopefully it's like, okay, maybe somebody will be curious about this and then they'll play it and then be like, oh, let me tell everyone about this game. And then they'll tell everybody and then those people will tell everybody. And hopefully that kind of works for our marketing because we can't, like, afford actual, you know, millions of dollars for commercial spots and, you know, banner advertisements and stuff like this. Cause it's like, we're not Activision or Square Enix or, you know, Sony or something. It's like, we don't have that kind of funding. So, I mean, in that regard, like, the press is kind of useful for if they actually covered, like, smaller developers or something, it's like, that'd be like useful for them. But it's like, since they all only cover which all homogenous, it's like, if it's not from a big developer or publisher, it's kind of just like, well, you don't exist to me. So I'm not going to waste my article space on you, even though it's like, that would be super useful, especially for, like, people who might be interested in, like, certain genres of games that may not get the same kind of coverage as other games. And it's like, oh, this, they covered something, and it's like, this looks interesting, let me check it out. But nope, you don't get that.
Press already covers it. Like, it's weird in that way, but where you're talking about with the marketing budgets, The Division has TV commercials, it has YouTube commercials, it has, like, all these commercials and banner ads and just, like, all these things that cost money. And then on top of that, the press just likes to talk about The Division, too. So, it's like, why are they even paying that money for all the marketing?
It's, like, okay, it's true, it's like they're already covering you.
Yeah, it's like, well, I guess it's for, like, people like Tekken who aren't following the press, and he's bound to be exposed somewhere. We just have no idea where, so we just sort of scattershot it. So yeah, really, it is like the small developers that don't have that kind of budget and aren't getting covered by the press. I mean, Tekken's not looking at the press anyway, so he wouldn't see them there.
Yeah.
And they have no marketing budget, so, like, there's nowhere to see them.
Because he'd basically only know from, like, word of mouth if, like, he was, like, playing with one of us or something. We're like, oh, by the way, heard about this game that I was playing?
Or just, like, walking around in the store, either in real life or digitally.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of sucks that it's that way, because it's like, it shouldn't be. It's like, if anything, you should be trying to cover these other games. It's like, because, I mean, it's like, we all would have found out about The Division in one way, shape, or form. It's like, we really didn't need the extra coverage for it. But
maybe that is another question, though. Like, should it be that way? Like, what is the press's purpose in games? You know, it's not really a news thing. We're not really looking for scandals and
That's a good point. Like, all the news in games media is more just, like, sales numbers, release dates.
This thing came out. This has leaks. This feature that's cool.
It's, like, nothing really relevant or important, really.
Yeah. So it's, like, is it their responsibility to cover things that people aren't covering?
Yes. Because that's, I mean, it's, like, what else would they be doing?
I mean, I would love to have a site that is, like, comprehensive, every single game... You will find information about it here. That would be really cool. But I don't know that... Like, who would...
I think any of the larger sites could, in theory, do that if they wanted to. They just don't. Mm-hmm.
They just don't.
Yeah, it's not possible. They just don't. Like, I feel like they just don't want to is what it is. Because it's like, yeah, we could totally, you know, not just parrot everybody... else and, you know, actually cover other stuff, but you know what? We can get those clicks easier by just doing what everybody else is doing. And,
so you think it's a money thing? It's just like, we need clicks, so we gotta write about The Division and not whoever Lacrosse 2016 or Blast Them Bunnies.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, because I feel like I know, because some of them have the manpower to do it, and they have, like, the popularity to actually be useful if they did stuff like that, so it's like, you know, they should, but they just don't, because it's like, well, this is not how you stay popular and how you keep money, because money, my dear boy, money. So it's like, I feel like that's the main thing, because, like, if they decided they wanted to, even if it's just like a weekly thing, they're like, okay, we're going to devote like a special segment to the games coming out this month that you probably haven't even heard of. And it's like something like that would be nice. It's like they won't take away from their other like crap that they always do. And it's like, you could still, you know, get the word out for people who don't have that opportunity to, like, you know, spam their game all over the internet or TV and stuff like that. So it's like, it doesn't even, it's like, I don't know. I just feel like it's possible. They just don't want to. It's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's really an audience for that?
Yes.
So you think that there are people who would be like, yes, I want to know, because not just the big game, I want to know every game that's out this week.
Because think about it, because Tekken, you don't go to these sites and stuff anymore because of, like, they all cover like the same stuff that you already know about all the time, right?
Yeah.
See, so it's like, if I feel like if there was, like, content out there, like, for people like him who actually do, like, want to know about other stuff, it's like, because I mean, he's gonna find out big games, like, no matter what he does, because it's like, it's everywhere, and then even we know about it, so it's like, he'll probably hear from one of us anyway. So it's like, it's like, if there was, like, that content out there, there's probably be plenty of people who are just like, oh, I'm glad somebody's actually doing this, because it's like, I wouldn't have known otherwise, and I want to know, but, you know, people just refuse to, you know, give me that. So because that's a lot of the reason why I stopped going to a lot of these sites, too, because it's like, well, I mean, there's no point of, you know, keeping up with all of you if you're all, like, telling, like, what's the point?
Like, everyone's talking about The Division. Yeah, I wonder what game is out right now.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't need to go to any of your sites to know this. It's like, so if there was, like, someone who was, like, would actually do that, it'd be nice. Hmm. And a lot of these larger sites, I'm pretty sure, can do it. They just don't.
Interesting.
Because they're too busy talking about what underwear are popular in Japan right now or some nonsense. Just get it together, Kotaku. Get it the hell together. I don't think I've been to that site in, like, years now, but it's, like, ridiculous.
Yeah. Cool. I agree. Actually, when Tekken was talking about this, I was like, we should do that. He was like, oh, about blind spots. Like, oh, we could do a blind spot segment. I don't know that we actually could do that, because there's a lot of games.
Like, every now and then.
Yeah, every now and then.
Just like, I was on the store, I saw this game, haven't played it yet, but it looks pretty cool.
Or maybe we should do it after we played it, so we have something to say.
There are games out there that we probably all play collectively that other people may want to know about, but don't necessarily, like, know about, kind of thing. Because it's like,
I mean, like for me, like, I think specifically in, like, the digital release area, because there's just a kind of games like that, like, jeez, I mean, like, Rebel Galaxy, There's some other game.
I've been buying random games on PSN for a while.
I turn my PS4 on and, like, to, like, look through them. There's, like, a bunch of them. But, like, I can't, for some reason, think of any right now. But, like, there's that one with, like, the guy, and they're, like, the card game. There's some Batman combat in it or something.
Yep.
And even that, like, it Sticks to the Shadow. I mean, I haven't played it yet, but it could be. I mean, it's probably, like, not amazing, but it's, like, you know, stealth action. Yeah. And
that one's getting a sequel.
I can never get enough. Oh, I didn't know
good
that.
Good enough.
Yeah.
Apparently. Sticks, Master of Shadows. I bought Mega Coin Squad from Adult Swim Games and Yorby Episode 1. Probably not that good, but in general, I mean, yeah, if you've listened to this for a long time, like, I even most, like, unless the game is super bad, I can usually find something okay with it.
He does. He's very good at that.
So, like, Spider-Man 3 was really bad. I can't think of anything I liked about that one. So mad. Man, I bought the collector's edition of that too at launch. And I was like, why? Why? I think Ultimate Spider-Man was the game that came out. The Spider-Man game that came out prior to that one. How could it be wrong? Spider-Man 2 was pretty decent. Ultimate Spider-Man was really good. Like, Spider-Man 3 coming out on a new console. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree that the role of, like, the Games Press is, like, an extension of PR, though, where they should, like, be megaphoning or signal-boosting games and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Even if they're, like, the
smaller. Because, like, what else? I mean, part of the, like, when you cover stuff in the new, or when, like,
I don't know, that's, yeah, I don't know how to answer that question, because I don't go to games anymore. Like,
well, what I see a lot on smaller sites is, like, they'll just, so you'll get, you know, Ubisoft probably sent out this week, The Division is out now, season pass available for pre-order, and then, you know, wrote it out in a sort of formal way of saying that. And then some news person probably got it and was like, oh, and they wrote their headline, The Division is out now. And then, you know, they just write a little thing about, oh, The Division is Ubisoft's new game under the Tom Clancy line. And then they just copy and paste the entire press release after that. And it's like, that feels so worthless to me. Like, that's what I would call parroting and just, like, amplifying the signal. Yeah, but, you know, I feel like, you know, you get your press release and you should be able to do stuff with that. You know, you should be able to take that and be like, oh, okay, I've read this. It is in my brain now. These are the questions I have from it. And then you go get answers for those questions. And then you write your thing.
Yeah, because I mean, like, I still do get press releases. I just, like, never go to my email anymore. But it's
yes,
kind of just like, There's probably things you can actually do with them, I guess, like, because it's like, even if you, like, report on them, you can kind of, like, I guess, talk about similar games or something. Like, you can probably figure out something to do with, or at least, like, contact the company that sent them to you after the fact and be like, hey, so, it's like, I read your release and it's like, this is kind of interesting. Could you, you know, give me more details or something? And then it's like, you can, I don't know, even, like, open up for an interview or just do, like, there's things you can do. It's just,
yeah,
they don't do these things.
Yeah, even, but the thing that, like, brought this up was, like, after GameStop got shut down, and I was like, man, like, even when they had, like, the monthly video things, there'd, like, be games in there, like, oh, that's coming out this month, that I completely forgot about or just, like, didn't know about. And, like, now it's, like, I didn't have that. Just, like, I'm even more just out there in the wind. Yeah, out of the loop. Even more stuff in my blind spot.
Well, you know, perhaps. Let's find out. Maybe we should find out. We should see if this is something that people worry about. Or are they pretty much, you know, it sort of relates to that question I asked long ago. Like, do you think fanboys have more fun? Because they don't even know or care about the stuff that they're missing out on.
I was kind of worrying about that, like, when I didn't play Destiny this week. I was like, I'm not playing Destiny. I'm not playing Division. I wonder if there's, like, people that are just, like, going to play those games for, like, a really long time and, like, not play anything else. They're just, they don't care what's coming out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And, like, Hitman and Dark Souls 3 and Uncharted comes out next or May. Well, there's a ton of stuff coming out in May, though, now, so everything got delayed. So.
Cause that's gonna be interesting. Isn't Mirror's Edge coming out that month, too?
Yeah, Doom as well.
Oh, Doom looks amazing.
I think also at the on the 18th, I just saw this on the internet in a YouTube video, but like apparently Telltale's gonna like show
the Batman
game, yeah, at South by Southwest. So
yeah,
that's gonna be
interesting. It's like it's just gonna be a dark alley. His parents are gonna get killed, and like Bruce will remember that, and then he's gonna like fast forward to like, this is, and it's like it's just gonna fast forward, and then it's like I'm Batman.
Oh man, I still want to talk Batman, but now is not the time.
It's always the time, Trump. We cover everything on here. We cover everything. But yeah, I just think because like even like when my streams is, or whenever I post videos or something on like for rare occasion I do post videos on YouTube anymore is it's like my most viewed stuff is always from like stuff that isn't like heavily covered. So it's like, so there's clearly people out there who's like, oh, there is someone actually, like, oh, that's great. So I can watch. So it's like, I know it's like there are people out there who do want this.
But actually, yeah, like, that's true.
It's just like, it's just not happening.
My most watch is Fantavision.
Yeah, because it's like, I think like the highest stream numbers I've had is like when I was playing like God Eater 2, and it's like it was all in Japanese, so I'm pretty sure like most of the people watching couldn't understand anything either, but it's like it's like I've had like dozens of people like tuning in at the same time, which is like the most I've had like ever. So it's just like it's when you I think there are people out there who just like want this stuff, but it's like it's just not there. So
do you think like what percentage of gamers do you think are people who like new interesting stuff?
That's a good question. I guess I'll just say 51% because I think they're in the majority.
Really?
It's funny. It's like I'll say they're in the majority, even though I know I'm always in the minority, and like I put myself in that category. Whatever. It's like even though it's like yeah, Tegan, you're clearly not going to be in this. You're wrong about this because you just jinxed yourself. But whatever. Yeah, but
I mean, I think it is the case. I think like part of me kind of feels like, for the most part, most gamers do actually, they are actually interested, but it's like that whole, it's like kind of like that peer pressure in the back of their mind where they're like, but I really should only be paying attention to the popular stuff because everyone else is. Even though I am interested in other stuff, it's like I should be only interested in like the Divisions and the Destinies and the Assassin's Creed kind of, and the Call of Duties kind of thing. Even though they're like, I would love to know what Blast and Bunnies is, but.
Yeah, because when I was doing my Plus and Live Deals videos for like 2 years or whatever, and I was like checking the store every week, I'd like sometimes see stuff on there and just be like, what is that game? Just like everyone would play, but like I would never go and play it because at the time I didn't have the money, but then like now I don't have the time, so it's like, ugh, whatever. So it's like, oh man, Shark Attack Deathmatch, that game was awesome, at least the demo I played, but man, it had sharks in it.
And it's a
and first person.
That sounds great.
It's like, how can you not play that again? So I downloaded the demo at least. I was like, oh yeah, checking it out. And I put some video on my YouTube and it got some views. And I was like, yeah, somebody else is interested in it. Yeah. Is the full game out? Or what's the full game like? I don't know, but the demo was pretty cool.
Interesting. Perhaps that is something to look at. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it's just this tiny minority of gamers who are actually interested in games as sort of this expressive new form of media. And so, you know, if you think of games as that, then of course you want to see all of the weird stuff that's out there, because like that's where people are expressing things that you haven't heard before. Whereas if you're just playing Call of Duty every year, they pretty much all express the same thing. But a lot of people buy Call of Duty, and, you know, I doubt Alien Shooter is going to get Call of Duty sales, or Blast and Bunny is going to get Call of Duty sales, so.
It might surprise you.
Or is that the always the bridesmaid syndrome?
Maybe.
You are not worthy of my purchasing, although I appreciate that you are here.
I feel like games like that need to exist, just, you know, for those of us who would like to, you know, appreciate them and be like, yeah, I'm glad you exist. I mean, I don't understand. I don't care how strange or unusual you are. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're not Call of Duty. So, this is happening. This is happening. Because I mean, really, I've only ever played Call of Duty because of other people. It's not like I've ever been like a fan of the series. So it's like it's that peer pressure thing, man. It's like, well, everyone else is doing it, so I should be too, kind of thing. So it's like,
wow.
I will be part of your $15 gajillion sales on day one thing because everyone else is doing it. So I should be. I shouldn't be concerned about whatever niche game is coming out around that time because Call of Duty. So, yeah.
Well, before we wrap this up, we've been talking a lot about Blastem Bunnies, and last week we only got a truncated description of it. Apparently, you play as a cute cartoon bunny called Bang Bang, who must defend your rabbit burrow against an onslaught of evil bunnies. Oh, so the protagonists and antagonists are all bunnies.
Oh, bunnies. Oh, okay.
These bunnies have captured your offspring, and one of them, the evil throat splitter.
Oh, God. Oh my.
Throat slitting. Is holding them hostage. Wait, one of your kids captured the other kids?
Oh my gosh. This got dark. Oh my gosh. Because at first it's like, you're a cute little bunny named Bang Bang. Your kid kidnapped your other kid and wants to slice him in half. I'm like, what? What's here? What just happened?
I just might have to check this out. In the interest of doing what we just said, people should be doing.
This game concerns me. I'm a little worried.
Anything else to say on this?
No, I don't think so.
Yes, blind spots. We don't know. I should have drank some water. We don't know how big a problem it is, but someone should do something about it. That is the conclusion. So, news. I have access. Oh no, what's happening?
Did you jinx it?
I did. It's kind of... Okay, so it's... I guess the news isn't going to be very detailed. Let's see. What should we start with? Well, so there's some fun stories here. Not fun necessarily, but as a spectator, they're fun. Because we don't have anything at stake. The first one, I think this was like shortly after we did the podcast last week. Basically, Oculus founder, he made a statement basically saying that the Rift will come out on Mac if Apple ever releases a good computer.
Ouch.
Rude. Oh, dear.
It was like, wow, it is
shots
on.
Fired.
Yeah, apparently he said it because basically even high-end Mac pros, like their GPUs aren't good enough to do VR. It Whoops. Sounded like very trash talky, but it was, kind I don't know, I know. Thought it was funny.
Man, that is... I've never really seen, like, the appeal of, like, Apple computers, because, I mean, all I know about them is that they're, like, unnecessarily expensive, but people are always like, they're the best thing ever. I mean, I guess, do they, like, not get viruses or something, or, like...
Yeah, so in the past, what it was, like, they don't get viruses because few people used Macs, and so the virus writers are just like, who cares? We infected.
It's like, who cares?
You know, like 1% of people who use computers got infected because we wrote a virus for Mac. Like, what was the point of doing that? We can infect 99% by just writing a virus for Windows.
I guess that is the point. The virus has to spread itself, multiply.
And then the other thing, like, it's sort of been replaced now with mobile devices. Like, mobile devices, you don't really have to know anything about it. You just install your apps or whatever, and then you can do new stuff.
But then, I don't understand, because, like, everybody I know that have, like, iPhone. As a matter of fact, most of the people I know have iPhones, but it's like they always complain about it. I'm like, then why don't you switch phones? And they're like, I'm already too deep in. I'm already I'm already in too deep. I was like, but you can just. But then they're like, because then I would have to like figure out how to get all my contacts and stuff. Because like people are they complain about the charger and the fact that you need like special adapters and stuff. And then they complain about the operating system and then the functionality and everything. I'm like, if you're complaining about all this, get a different phone. Like I don't understand. Like, am I the only one who sees this? Like, it's common sense, right? So it's just like so many complaints, but then they still line up and get the next new one. Like when it comes out, I'm like, this doesn't.
Maybe it'll be better. Maybe
Sonic syndrome. It's like, no. Like, this time, guys. This time, I feel like we got a winner. We got a winner. But they're just like, not this time either. Cool. Maybe the next time. Maybe the next time. So, but it's just like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, so many people, like, complain about it all the time. Like, one of my coworkers, she was like, how she used to have Galaxy. Then she switched over to Apple, and she's like, you keep it. She's like, because I'm already into who's behind them now. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense to me. Because she was like, if I had the chance, I would just like go back and just switch back. It's like, this is like terrible. I was like, why would you do this to yourself? So I never really, so for me, it's like, I never understood, I never understood it. Because it's like, they seem like they're so popular, but it's like, people do nothing but complain about them. So I'm like, how is this a thing? Like, I don't understand.
Well, before mobile phones, it was like, I don't know how to use computers. And you go to your Mac and it's like, oh, I can just like, how do you install a program? You just drag it over here and it's installed. Like, wow, that feels like something I can understand. And then, so like that's how mobile phones all are now. But it was sort of like a convenience thing. Like Windows did not make lots of things convenient back in the day. But nowadays, it's like, Macs are, they use the same processors as PCs, and they're not as fast as PCs. And, but they still got that. Yeah, if you've never used a Mac, if you, like, you've always been Windows, and you, like, sort of understand how to do things on Windows, you go to a Mac, and you're just like, I have no idea how to use this. Like, how the heck do I uninstall something? I just want to uninstall. And it's like everything has been, I guess, dumbed down is a way to say it. It's just like it's been dumbed down to a point where you're just, if you're used to operating at not a dumbed down level, it's like you can't figure things out on the Mac.
It's like it's just too simple for me to figure out.
Like, yeah, like, I can do that? That like messes up Windows programs. You don't just delete the folder.
Yeah, because you can't. Because then you're like hunting it down, and you're like, crap.
You gotta like, find the registries and like delete all those.
Yeah, it's like, ah, oh, crap. What did I do? I did this all wrong.
And it used to be like all like movie editing software and like photo software and stuff like that all came with the Mac. And Windows was like, well, you could buy ours. And it will kind of sort of work sometimes. Or you could use our free one, which is even more annoying in the kind of sort of work department. And so, yeah, in that case, it was like, well, if I just want to be able to organize my photos easily, then the Mac was decent. And now it's like, Windows has that too. Everyone has that. Google has that. You don't even need Windows. You can get a Chromebook. It just has Chrome on it, and you can do that. Yeah.
Because like my laptop is like super old now, which I need to get a new one this year, but it's like, and it's like even that one came with like we editing software and like all this other extra stuff, and it's just like it's like everything is there now. Like it just doesn't make sense to me anymore. I don't know, man.
It's a different now it's very different. So yeah, that I thought the Smack Talk was very funny. Here's another funny one for everyone except the people involved. So Capcom has started to remove league points from Street Fighter V players who were rage quitting.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing it so that they could, like, you know, like when you're playing and you have a win streak, if you disconnect before you lose, you keep that streak. The server doesn't register the win.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a huge problem. So Street Fighter V, Capcom was like, okay, you know, we're going to crack down. We're going to take away league points if you're, like, rage quitting a lot.
But how would they know if it's like, oh, okay, if you're doing it a lot, okay. Because I was about to say, how would they know if it's just like somebody that doesn't have like a crappy connection or something, as opposed to somebody who is like actually rage quitting?
Well, Japan's World Combo was his username. He was one of the first two players in the world to reach Super Platinum rank.
Oh my, that sounds...
So there is a Super Platinum.
It's like, it's not platinum enough. It's not platinum enough.
It requires 10,000 league points in ranked matches.
How many points do you get for a ranked match? Is it like one?
Depending on who you fight against, it's like 30 to 50 or so. In before you get to bronze.
So you're looking at hundreds of wins, basically.
Yeah. Lots and lots of wins. Well, it was weird, because like the other person who reached platinum rank was TS7, who is like a tournament pro player. And so I was like, huh, so who is this World Combo person? And apparently there was like some evidence that he was rage quitting a lot. So on Kotaku, there are two screenshots taken by Velociraptor. they were shot 1 hour apart. In one, it shows he has 10,047 league points, and then in the next one, he has 675.
Oh my.
9,000 points gone. Just like that.
Well, that's what you get for, like, constantly rage quitting.
Yep.
Like, that's another thing I don't really understand is rage quitting. Like, what, why, do, like, I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know sometimes with people. It's just like, if it's that serious to you, where you feel the need to like constantly, like you're spending more time connecting to games than you are actually playing because you're so busy like quitting and stuff all the time. It's like, what's the point? why aren't you just like enjoying your games?
Get those league points to be like, oh look, I'm number one.
Yeah, but like, who cares? Like
I care. Hypothetically, if I was World Combo, I care.
It's like, You being Super Platinum is not going to stop me from like playing my game or, you know, enjoying my game anymore. So it's like,
stop you when I rage quit, because it like pauses the game and you're like, oh no, my game is frozen.
See, that's what just doesn't, stupid. Like, rage quitting just doesn't make sense to me. Like, don't, it's like, we're supposed to be playing these games for fun. You don't rage quit because you're losing or something. Cause like, what do you get out of quitting though? I don't understand. Like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Like, no one's gonna come to your house and like steal stuff every time you quit or every time you lose or something. So it's not like why are you? It's like, I just don't know, man. I just don't know. Like, rage quitting just doesn't make sense to me.
Some not so great news. So like, Mad Catz was hit with layoffs and like top executives left a few months ago.
Oh.
And apparently like they're out of the publishing agreement with Rock Band 4. Developer Harmonix on Rock Band 4. But PDP, another peripherals manufacturer, has stepped in, and now they are the co-publisher on Rock Band 4. Apparently what this means is that, well, we don't really know for sure. The assumption is PDP is going to be working with Harmonix for future licensing of DLC tracks and stuff like that. And Mad Catz will continue to do the guitar peripherals and stuff that they've already done. Yeah, apparently it's pretty bad over at Mad Catz. They thought Rock Band 4 would sell more, and it didn't, so they had like a ton of guitars and drums lying around that they couldn't sell.
Ah. Did the other, what the hell is that, the one, Guitar Hero Live, is that what it's called? That one?
Yep.
Yeah,
did that come out already, or is that...
Oh, they're out.
Yeah,
they're both out.
Mm-hmm.
But
neither really set the world on fire the way it did in the past.
I would think that, because I didn't even know they were both out.
If you're a fan, I think you're having fun with them.
Because like, the only reason why I like remember that Rock Band 4 is out, because it's like, I remember like I was at GameStop and somebody like bought it but couldn't fit like the whole box in their car because they were driving like one of those Mini Coopers or something. So they're like, it's like, huh, I did not think this through. It's like, that is hilarious, because they're like, I'm not gonna fit in my car, because like the boxes are huge. So it's like, it's like you did not think this through at all. So they're like, it's okay, maybe if I just leave like my window open and have it like partially sticking out. I was like, this sounds like it's not a good idea. So yeah, it's kind of hilarious. But yeah, that's the only reason why I knew it was out, was because like I saw like for them like in the stores. But
Yeah. Who knows how well the Street Fighter sticks and stuff are selling? I guess we'll like, find out later if Mad Catz is still around. The biggest news this last week was that big changes happened at Microsoft Studios. So apparently they did their spring showcase where they're like, yeah, you know, everything is coming to Windows and Xbox and it's going to be awesome. And then this week they're like, oh, so we're thinking about shutting down Lionhead Studios and Press Play. Also, we're canceling Fable Legends.
Yeah, I thought that was like weird when I saw that Fable Legends thing, because like, it had been one of the, wasn't it one of the biggest Microsoft holiday lineups?
It was like the greatest lineup of all time. And I was like, I'll delay till next year. And I was like, it's delayed till forever.
I was about to say, it's like, now it's about happening. So, yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, there was just tons of stuff written about this over the week. One thing that came out was apparently, like, Lionhead Studios didn't know that this was happening. You know, mere days before the announcement, they were still tweeting out, like, oh, yeah, we're still working on the beta. It's going to be awesome. We've got news coming soon. It's going to be good. And then it was like, this is the news.
It's like, oh.
So the game is canceled. Beta will continue on into April, and then it'll be shut down. You can't buy any more stuff in the beta. Like, it was a free-to-play game, so can't buy any stuff. No new players are being added. It's just over. There was at least one article that talked about, like, this is interesting. You know, Xbox, it seems like they maybe are trying to carve a new path. One in which, like, Xbox fits better into the Windows 10, like, ecosystem. Because, like, previously, the Xbox model is basically the PlayStation model. It's like, oh, you sell hardware at a loss. You make a few, you know, first-party, like, you put tons of money into first-party titles that are, like, really showcases for your hardware. And then, you know, you get third parties excited about the hardware because people are buying it for the first party titles. But if you look at Microsoft recently, like, that doesn't seem like what they're doing anymore. All of their biggest first party titles are franchises that were created not by first, like, they were first party studios, some of them, but they've all left. So, like, Bungie left. Epic was Gears of War, and they're gone now. Fable was one of their big ones, and they just shut down. Turn 10, that's like the one first-party studios that made a first-party franchise for them.
Rare, but...
So it was like Turn 10 and Rare are the ones doing first-party big showcase titles. And then all of the other exclusive titles are being developed by third parties. So it's like ReCore and Scalebound and... I didn't know Remedy was still third party. But yeah, like Quantum Break. So the big things are happening outside, and it's like, oh, is this how they're going to do it from now on? Like, they're just going to contract people in to make their big franchises?
That would make sense for them. It hasn't worked well. Not
yeah.
Doing it internally.
I mean, I haven't...
Cut them, I guess, after the fact.
I haven't played Fallout Halo 5, but I guess people aren't, you know, Halo is not the powerhouse that it once was. And Halo 5, like, did not reverse that trend. And Gears of War, like, the last Gears of War was not, you know, it was, like, on a downward trajectory. And the last Gears of War thing was, like, a remake of the first one. And it wasn't really, like, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever. That didn't happen. So... Yes, lots of questions for people who love the Xbox. Good news for you people. The first two paid expansions for The Division have 30-day exclusivity on Xbox.
I saw Gamer tweet about that, and I thought it's hilarious.
Question mark?
It's like a weaker version of their previous deals that they had with Call of Duty. It's not even everything in the season pass. It's just the first two paid expansions. So any other content that comes out, and I think it's like cosmetic stuff that's also part of the season pass, like that is all coming out at the same time on both platforms.
And it's nowhere near as large as the year-long exclusivity that Destiny caused between the two.
Oh yeah, with the Destiny
so.
One. So. Yay! Small victories. And then final news story I saw this morning. Apparently Amazon Japan now allows international orders. So instead of going through PlayAsia is the big one. PlayAsia charges a markup for their import service. And Amazon Japan does not do that. You just have to pay for international shipping. Which is like, you know, $10, $8.
Okay, if you have a question, because I've never used Amazon International or whatever, or Japan. So it's like, if I have an Amazon account, I can just like go to Amazon Japan website and just like, click, click, click.
Unfortunately, no. So Amazon Japan and Amazon the US, like they don't share, I guess, customer data. So you have to sign up for a new account on Amazon Japan. But, you know, once you've done that, like when you go, there's like, it will be the only thing you can understand on the page. It will say in English, and it will turn some of the text on the page into English, so you'll be able to navigate yourself around.
Although most browsers have like a translate option now.
I guess that's true. Like, yeah, Google does it automatically if you let it. So the cool part is like, apparently you just have to choose international shipping. Under the shipping options. And you can get some games like, I was looking today, I was like, oh man, this is really cool. I want that Yakuza game that took place in their medieval times. I looked for that one, I was like, yeah, it's like, I could get it for a little over $36, $37. Like, that's not too bad. PS3 game, but whatever.
Wait a minute, Tropical. Oh man, you got the gears turning. So it's like, hypothetically, if I'm browsing Amazon Japan and I see like a Japanese PS2, and I could like buy like a bunch of weird Japanese PS2 games and just pay money for it?
I guess so.
I mean,
ship it internationally? Oh man, sorry. Oh man, and it it's backwards compatible, so you're like, oh man. Okay, I'm pumped. I'm looking this up right now.
Yeah, I got the story from usgamer.net. They have a guide on, like, step-by-step walkthrough on how to navigate through that and get yourself ready to buy stuff from Amazon Japan.
Man, I can finally play those weird Japanese games.
If you can find them.
Yes, you can.
It's not... like, the caveat is just, like, they have to be... shipped and sold from Amazon Japan.
Huh.
So yeah, it can't be like marketplace type things. Still. Could be pretty cool.
Are PS4 games like region locked?
Nope. Yeah, PS3 and PS4 aren't region locked, except for, I think, Persona 4 Arena and Ultimix were the only region locked games.
Well, I mean, we have those here, so,
yeah.
So that's not that big of a deal, but...
Our version is region locked too. Like they can't use ours either.
That is so weird.
Yeah, I was like, why?
Weird. Why would they even bother with that? It's like what?
But yeah, like most places that reported this story were they used Dead or Alive Extreme 3 as their example of a game that you might want to buy from Amazon Japan. And Fire Emblem Fates, because I guess there's a whole thing about people are upset about the translations.
Why?
I was like, I don't know that buying the Japanese version would necessarily help you unless you speak Japanese.
I was just about to say, because it's like, what would you even...
It's not like you would get a better translation.
That's It's dumb. And then, because I know some people were complaining about the fact that they removed, like, certain stuff because of, like, censoring or whatever, but it's like, mm-hmm. you don't really, like, note. It's like, it's dumb. Like, what are you worried about petting someone's face and stuff for? Like, stuff.
But it's like... Well, the one that I saw was, like, there was supposedly, like, a conversation between two assassins.
Uh-huh.
And in the Japanese version, like, they are very seriously talking about assassin stuff, like counting how many people they've killed, and the other guy's like, oh, I don't count because it's like sick or whatever. And then in the American version, it's just played off as a joke where both of them say nothing to each other, so it's just like ellipses.
Uh-huh.
And it's like,
Because, I mean, like, because it's weird, because, like, some of the conversations between characters, it's like, I don't know, it just feels weird, like, for them to, like, censor certain things and then not censor other things, because it's like, well, what's, because, like, there's some, like, very, like, not kid-friendly conversations going on with some of these characters, because it's like, because I know, like, between, like, the one girl, like, one, the daughter, that I just recruited recently and her father, they're like talking about hitting, they both talk about how they can hit on girls, but she's like telling him how she's far better at it than he is and everything. And it's like this whole conversation about it. And it's like, even though she's like, I'm pretty sure she's like a teenager or something. So it's like, you don't have these kind of conversations with your parent. Like, you don't be like, hey, yeah, I'm better at picking up the girls, which than you are. And I can do all kinds of things you can't do. And all this, and it's like, you shouldn't be like, you don't cross that line with your parents. It's weird. So it's like, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird, man.
Hmm. Yeah, it's like the whole localization thing is, it's a debate between, or it's a bit sort of a debate about, like, what is the purpose of localization? And some people think it's about, or usually fans believe that it's about bringing the thing as accurately as possible to a language that I can understand. And, like, people who do localization seem to think it means, how do we make it so that people will like it in that country?
I mean, because I think that's what it's supposed to be. Like, because it's like, yeah, they can bring it over as accurately as possible, but it's like, there's too many cultural differences where it's like, they can leave stuff in there, but then you're like, I don't understand this, because I'm American, and this, like, this is not a thing for us here.
See,
so
I actually side with the accurately as possible, because to me, sometimes it feels like, you know, I consider even games writing as sort of, it's like part of the art, right? So yeah, if you change the art for marketing purposes,
but
then
it doesn't necessarily have to be for marketing purposes. It's like, because they can still, like, maintain. Like, they can make,
but it is like you're making it more palpable to the local audience by changing stuff that they don't understand.
Yeah, but it's like, a lot of times though, it's kind of like an equivalent, like, based on like kind of like, it would be like the same joke, except like with references like that we'd understand as like for like our culture. Like, it wouldn't be the same as like if you told a joke based on, I guess, like some mythology thing based over in Japan. It's like, If you don't understand, you know, like, the mythology here, then it's like, well, then it's like, I'm pretty sure this joke was hilarious over there, but for me, it's like, well, I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to, like, so it's not necessarily that they're, like, making it more palpable so much as it's like they're, like, making it so that you can, like, you know, I guess, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but it's like it's like an understanding thing. It's like you could still make the same joke, but it's just like you need different, like, references, you know, do it, like, because, like, I'm not gonna know, like, a bunch of Japanese pop stars or something if they're making a reference to something, but it's like if they use, like, an American one, it's like, oh, I get it now, kind of thing. It's like, so it's not necessarily that they're, like, changing it completely, it's just a different type of,
maybe. I'm like, more with anime, like, in the past, when I watch anime that had been translated into English, it felt like they were trying to cover up that this stuff did not come from America. And that just, like, felt very wrong to me.
Well, I mean, in that regard, then, yeah, I can kind of understand. But, yeah.
It's like, you know, these can be a medium for people to become interested about other things and possibly other places on the world, on the planet, But if you're just like changing it all, so it's like, oh, it's okay. You don't need to know anything. Just be wherever you're from and you understand it fine. Then it's like, well, then you've lost potential value there in making people interested in stuff beyond the things that they already know.
I guess it just depends on how degree that it's changed. Because I mean, if you look at games like whatever that Fire Emblem Cross SMT game is going by nowadays, it's like, it's very Japanese.
The title is actually translated directly. I just can't remember what it was. Yeah.
Oh, because it's like seemed like there's so many random words. I don't know what it says. But yeah, it's like,
I can't remember what it was, but yeah, I looked at it and I was like, oh, that's what it says.
Was that like the exact translation? But it's like, yeah, that game seems very Japanese-y in appeal, so it's like they decided they're...
I feel like that is fine, like...
And I'm kind of okay with that, because it's like, it seems like, for me, it's like something like, I mean, I'm interested in it anyway, so it's like, it's not really like a big deal for me, but it's like, for things like that, it's kind of like... I don't know how they would even, like, how would they go, they would have to, like, change, like, everything.
You should come with a book, and then, you know, you see something you don't understand, and then you go look it up in the book that it comes with, and it's like, oh, okay, now I get it.
Because it's like, I know the whole idol thing is, like, a big thing over there, so it's like, it makes sense, like, in the context for them to be kind of, like, doing, like, these performances with their battles being, like, performances and them actually turning into, like, idols or whatever, but it's like, because, like, we don't have that kind of, well, I mean, it's kind of, yeah, I don't know if we, like, have that kind of equivalent over here or not, but it's, yeah, it would probably be weird if they tried to change anything, so it's like, it's like, we have to just take this, and you're just gonna have to accept it, so.
This is, like, a whole other middle segment that we could do, or have just done now.
But yeah, so I guess it would depend.
Perhaps once Tekken gets his import PS2.
Yeah, because I'm really thinking about getting like a Wii U just for this game. But I'm like, what if the NX comes out and it's fully backwards compatible? Then I could just get that, and then I could still have all of those, and then whatever new crap they come out with. So it's like, I should just
Nintendo.
Because I think it's coming out in what, like June or something, right?
The NX?
No, the Tokyo Mirage Session Tag,
yeah, Fire Emblem, like that.
Whatever the hell it's calling itself now.
Oh yeah, there was a Nintendo Direct, which I totally ignored.
I watched it. It was, yeah. I don't know, it's like every time I see one, it just like, I feel like the gulf between me and Nintendo just like keeps widening.
I mean, I kind of guessed that what's going to, because I mean, when both the Monster Hunter and like the SMT games went on sale, like right before it, I was like, oh, this is going to be like localization stuff for these two games. So it's like it's going to be Monster Hunter and the SMT cross thingy. So I was like, yay. So it's like, for me, it was fine because, I mean, there's stuff coming over here, but yeah.
Yeah. They announced those stuff. They announced a new Kirby game for...
I know! I was like, so much stuff! I can't do it!
Can't. And then the Star Fox, there was two things. More amiibos.
It's also a reason why I need another 3DS, because it's like, there's another Kirby game now! So
Pokken Tournament coming out. Oh, that's next week. Pokken Tournament.
Is that
next week? Kind of want that. But I actually haven't seen anything on it.
Me either, actually.
I like the idea of Pokemon and the creators of Tekken.
It's a logical conclusion kind of thing, because it's like, this is pretty much what like the anime like shows of the Pokemon battles kind of being. So it's like, as opposed to like the actual current games where they're like the turn-based one, it's like this seems more in line with how the battles are actually done in the anime. So
it's like the nice. Advent children of Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
that's what the combat looks like. Man, the turn-based did not do it justice.
There are so many special edition PlayStation 3s. Oh my goodness. So many of them. They're delicious looking.
They make one for like every game that comes out. So it's like they don't even care. They're like, this game you might not have even heard of, we're making a special edition for it.
Ooh, I wonder if I can get a gold faceplate for my PS4.
Oh, yeah, because they sell those. Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm going to spend so much money this next 30 days. Thanks, Amazon Japan. Wow, there's a Guns of the Patriot. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Apparently, yeah, Asians like gold electronics. That's why they made a gold iPhone last time. It's not actually gold, but
it's so tacky.
That color was very popular in China.
I don't understand that. It looks so tacky to me.
I was like, I don't get this, but I guess I should get a gold faceplate for my.
But I guess I should. Get I don't understand this, but I'll do it. I guess
it is for good fortune and wealth.
Is that what that is?
What? We like good fortune and wealth. All right. Well, I think we can wrap this up. Thank you for listening to another Aimless Babble Z. We'll be back next week. So stay tuned on aimlesspodcast.com and subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is here. Unless you're listening to the audio, which is aimlesspodcast.com. It can be confusing, so yeah, like us on Facebook, and I forget what the verb is for Twitter.
Tweeting, I think. Oh, well, no, it's following or something.
Following. You know? Yeah. So yeah, do all that stuff. We'll be in touch.
Please.
Farewell. Anything to say before we sign off for PG?
I might be an idol this summer. I might be an idol this summer, guys. An idol singer, I mean. In Tokyo. Because reasons.
Alright, so yeah. Like Charles said, check us out. I'm going to go look at these Japanese PlayStation 3s.
Scoreboard!
And stuff.
Scoreboard!
Oh, scoreboard update. Did you finish your game, Charles?
Nope.
Oh, wait, isn't the disputed column? Oh, I finished this game! Yeah. Okay, so yeah. Wow. I'm totally just not... I'm not even thinking about that right now, but yeah. So, you know, Tekken's got 3 in the disputed, 8 in the finished, Tropical's got 2 in the finished, and RPG's still sitting there with 0. Because, you know, he likes to not finish games.
What are you talking about?
I did
Final Fantasy Explorers.
I thought you already finished it.
What?
Didn't you already finish it? Didn't you already say, like, you got to the part where the credits rolled?
Yeah, hence my,
for this
hence
week?
I suppose, to get one. No, it was this week. What are you talking about? I said,
oh. All right, well, RPG has one.
What are you talking about? The game came out this year anyway, so it wouldn't matter.
No, I thought you'd already, like, got to that part. I was like, oh, so you finished it? And you're like, oh, no, there's more stuff after this, and I need to go off and not play it ever again or something.
That was this week.
Whatever. So, yeah, RPG, yeah, whatever. 1 and Tropical 2, me, 8, and there you go.
Although I would put shenanigans on, like, half of those, but it's okay.
those are all in the disputed column.
My 8 are not disputed. My
no,
8 are...
there's more in the disputed column.
Oh, I, like, yeah, 3 in
the
disputed column.
Shenanigans.
But, whatever. So, yeah, that's it. Until you see her from the skin, Aimless Double Z, and we're now signing off. Beep.